receivable. This is a long-term priority to fix revenue receivable. So therefore, at this point in time, although there's progress, we don't see this issue to be resolved in the current year. The key thing is, it needs to be clear that these processes and policies to align to account for revenue and receivables. So management are working on the business processes. There's a couple of experts that have been appointed and approved by the minister who will assist Faisal and his team to deal with the policies and procedures in that regard. So we are working closely with management to review the draft policy to ensure it caters for all issues. So when it's implemented, it will resolve the actual issues.
So under the opinion, what steps have been put in place? Do you think the general principles resolve the issue in the next week?
So, like I said, the key thing with regards to the billing and collection of revenue, the business project needs to be clearly defined. Therefore, you've got a scenario where you don't have meter readings, for example, but what's the alternative to ensure accurate billing in the case there's no meter readings? So these are scientific ways to actually bill for those customers. For example, farmers, can they calculate the usage of water, I mean, of hectares, etc., to actually calculate a reliable figure for them to bill those customers. So that discussion has been taking place. We had preliminary discussions with management and the experts to understand is there an alternative way to bill for the revenue of meters, because the installation of meters is not going to happen overnight.
So when do they think, I mean, they're consulting with experts, but at some stage one has to,
yeah.
When does it look like it's in the near future?
Well, so it could not be in the current year. Faisal can give more feedback, it will be in next year. I would think, given that it's already the end of the year, we're going to have to struggle, it's going to be a touch road.
No, I understand that, but in the near future at least, in the next few months, are they going to sort this out and start getting that system sorted out and get their 50% of receivables? You think that's possible?
No, I believe that because they already started last year with the receivable side. They had meetings with key customers, but there wasn't evidence for that. So we asked them to really, if you have meetings and agreements to collect money, for example, if a water board owes you 100 million, there's been discussions, it needs to be documented and approved, needs to be provided. So that already started last year. But it's already progress. The document evidence just needs to be available.
Okay. Next one?
The next one is to qualify the completeness of the regular expenditure. Basically, in this area, there's been significant progress. There's been significant reduction in the amount of the regular expenditure. However, it is still a regular expenditure. We don't have any regular expenditure that's significant to us. So therefore, there's still funding for the regular expenditure for the current year under review. Obviously, a number of preventive procedures have been put in place for management to resolve the issue, but those preventive issues wouldn't resolve the history of transactions and contracts. For example, there might be contracts that have been signed last year for a three-year period as irregular, so you will still see that regular signature against that contract in the current year and next year. So there is, I can say there is, we in our interim audit that we just finalized and we issued the management report actually today, this afternoon, there is far less findings on irregular expenditure. So the key thing of regular expenditure is linked to the preventive controls, meaning the systems that management needs to put in place to prevent them of occurring. For example, if you've got a management startup of that process of uploading the contract on the SAP system, so for example, if a contract is approved for 10 million, that is uploaded on the system, so you can't pay more against that 10 million. So those preventive controls is being in place.
That's interesting. Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. Okay, I'm a lawyer, I'm not a auditor. Now I'm going to clap in just now, we'll see, okay. But that's, I mean, your example you give me seems so simple. You get a contract, you put it on the system, and then you can't spend more than, I mean, that seems simple to me. That's why you've got technology there. You don't have to have Mrs. or Mr. Panamarva sitting there going through every little thing. They've got a computer, and at a certain stage, the computer says you can't spend anymore. That's full stop. But okay, we'll hear why this is so difficult to do for the WPE, with its 94 billion assets, but can't load a contract. Okay, next one.
The next clarification was on property, plant, and equipment, infrastructure, assets.
Sorry, what? The?
Property, plant, and equipment.
Property, plant, and equipment.
It related to the infrastructure construction. The key issue there was that management to identify where there's abnormal losses when constructing a specific dam, for example, A simple example, not a reality, but a simple example is if the project starts and they construct, for example, a dam wall, and that dam wall was constructed incorrectly, they have to start all over again. And they can't capitalize that cost against that, of course, it's actually a waste. So that waste needs to be expensed in the income statement as a waste. And then I started with the research. I mean, we had a preliminary discussion in November last year where they consulted with ESCOM and they're following a research process to identify how best to identify those abnormal costs. It's not an easy thing to do because you need to look at what is best practice, what is abnormal, what is normal, because in a construction environment, you know, delays because of rainfall is normal, strikes are, certain amount of strikes are normal. So you need to identify what is abnormal so that you can test it against your policy, and that is still in the research phase. So we're working again close with management to ensure that any policies they implement that covers the concerns that we've raised. So on the 2010 objectives, that's the slide that we've got in front that we presented.
Predetermined objectives.
That we presented yesterday. Mm-hmm. Basically, we do report, like we did report last year, on the usefulness of predetermined objectives, mainly easy measures well-defined, is the indicators measurable and well-defined, is the target smart, simple, and is the evidence of the virus is accurate.
And what is your finding?
Currently, there's no improvement in the predetermined objectives. We did review the 13-14 year. There's significant improvement in the plan submitted to you for the 13-14 year. So management are improving and following, are going in the right direction.
No, there's still problem. That's big improvement, but there's still problem.
Yes. The problem is mainly due to the wording with regards to how clear the wording is in the strategic plan to ensure that evidence are collected consistently and in the right way. You've looked at the slide yesterday on the construction phases, so that's moving us in the right direction. That must become policy.
Well, that they've done much clearer now.
Yes. So that must become policy, and we build into business processes for each project. So when the project plan is designed, that framework is utilized, we can test against that framework, and we can report the accurate percentage of completion. See, on compliance, there's still a number of non-compliance we've identified, payments up to 30 days, revenue management, bank reconciliations. Similar to last year, I mean, we raised the issue last year that we need to be a legal compliance office dealing with compliance at the Department of Justice to ensure that all compliance are catered for.
Yeah,
one. I know in the new structure for the WTE, the compliance officer is included in the new structure, but for the year under review, there wasn't anyone that really takes responsibility for compliance, having checklists in place, not just PS matrix, but all compliance relating to the entity.
See, that basically seems quite a simple job again. If you've got someone there, that is their work to do, and you take your credit, go through all the legislation, all the regulations, you see what things have to be complied with, and then during the year, you just check all the time what has been complied with. That's your only job you've got. You say, our big problem, again, you see, it doesn't sound to me like rocket science, but obviously it's really a big problem with water. I mean, that's obviously a rocket science issue. But you've identified the fact that there is not a specific person that has responsibility, like everyone got responsibility, therefore everyone does look at it. That's a mission strategy. Make no one responsible, and then no one looks at it. Or you make everyone responsible, and then no one looks at it. And no one is to pay. Okay, Mr. WGE will have to explain where this compliance officer is. I hope it's in his back pocket, because otherwise it's trouble.
Thanks, Jeff. So basically, that's the qualification areas here. With regards to critical concerns, obviously, we discussed, HR always will be a critical issue, the skills and capacity in the WT finance unit. Like I said, the minister has improved. There's a, if you correct me, I think 6 experts have been appointed to assist for a year, consulting for a year. We worked with some of those staff members last year to improve the financial services continuity in that assessment. Those 6 persons who helped with the business process as well with defining the key technical issues, work with us to resolve the key accounting issues, and ensure there's proper business processes, because in the end of that, if there's no proper business processes, it's difficult for us to audit. Again, but we don't know what the procedures are, and it's difficult for management to ensure that risks are covered. With regards to you mentioned yesterday that the key leadership positions are in the process of being appointed, so we can see improvement in that area. Obviously, it was of concern for us. But like you mentioned yesterday, the DD positions, two of them will be filled in the near future, and the interviews have started, so that's good to hear. With regards to the IT chair, IT plays a big role in WT as an enabler for the engine to access information. I mean, the volumes of transactions, as you said, you've got 90 billion rand of assets, close to 10 billion rand of revenue.
IT must be vital then.
So, there is long-term plans we've discussed with Faisal and his team to implement the SAP module that will allow them to accurately collect information.
It's a long-term plan.
It's a longer-term plan. Long-term. Because you need to convert from the old system to the new system. You need to customize some of the modules to fit into your environment.
You need to move from old to new system. Okay. The systems that they're moving towards, again, I hope it's in his back pocket. Yeah. And moving towards, those of you are happy will deal with this issue.
Yeah.
So it's a question of, I can now ask time down to within 2 months, just to get people to come and move the information from the old to the new system, and then you can do that. Yeah. It'll be possible. Okay. You just employ more people, you just can do it quickly and then it's done. Right, I hope he's got answers.
Just to clarify, do I mean the long term? Is it 5 years? I'm talking about the next 1 or 2 years to be resolved.
For me, that's life. For a politician, that's half your... It's hard to stay in Parliament. If you come in 2 years, yeah, it's hard to stay in Parliament. I mean, most of these members could be gone in 2 years. And then they'll get away with it for the next 5 and the next lot coming. Right, that must be shorter.
Yeah, I already discussed business processes and policies. I've discussed ECM. The key other thing there is financial statements to be prepared on a 6-monthly basis. That's something that we discussed, obviously, with Fred and his team. We still struggle to produce accurate half-year financial statements because we're trying to fix the history and trying to fix prior issues so we don't get into to compile half-year financials, because that will help us with the order process as well. We've got another main account that has done that, to assist, give you guys a proper set of financials, all the other services.
Or they can then try and get it right next 6 months.
Yeah.
You just wait at the end of the year and you find that everything's wrong.
But yeah, going back to business processes with regards to, for example, impairment, rehabilitation cost of terms, working with management, if those policies are approved and clear, then they can actually ensure that they follow that policy and produce more accurately of your financial statements. That's basically my comments from the WT subject.
Okay, hello, a lot of comments. Now, last year they moved for the first time ever from a no report to a qualified one. So we at least moved up to a qualified. And this year, at least you're still going to be able to give a qualified. But in all these different areas, there's at least been improvement. Will that be what's going to happen this year, or more?
Yeah,
I can't tie you down because we haven't signed off, but more or less.
Basically, from what you're seeing, we won't have a regression back to what you're seeing.
No regress.
But it all depends on making sure that those people are there, there's continuity, making sure that whatever has been done last year isn't done in the same manner, and we shouldn't see a regression.
So we're hoping for another qualified report, but with improvement.
With improvement, yes.
Okay, well, that's always good. Moving forward. We'll get the answer just now for him. Ma'am, you want to give us the main account?
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much.
Sorry, I didn't get your surname, maybe?
Nhlongo.
Nhlongo?
Yes.
Okay. Nhlongo,
okay.
It's you.
Chair, if I may just mention, last year we had two paragraphs which were part of the qualifying item, which was food and services and the movable assets. Those were due to our comparative for the 10-11 financial year.
Sorry, goods and services and?
And movable assets.
Movable assets, that was the problems last year.
Yes, there were the problems for 10-11, and then we qualified them last year because of the comparative figure. So I must just say, Chair, these two paragraphs, this year we're not expecting any problems, so they may not be there.
Oh.
Again, Chair, I'll go through other three qualification paragraphs, which were prepayment and advances and goods and services, commitments.
Sorry,
and accrual.
Prepayment?
Yes.
And what?
With goods and services.
Uh-huh.
And then there were commitments and an accrual.
Goods and services, you said?
Yes. Prepayments and goods and services were one paragraph because they affected both
paragraphs. Okay. So there were three things.
Yes, that's an addition to other stuff, but on this three, I just want to comment on them because they were made up of one element that the root cause of it was one element, which was the original bus infrastructure. We experienced problems where it was the method of recons not being done on this project, which were dating back 5 years ago. So, which is the reason why we came with prepayment on there. And then because of the root cause not being properly done, the client couldn't identify which part was commitment and which one was accrual. Which why at the end of the day we qualified them saying we cannot satisfy us that the matters have been properly done and are complete those balances. So I must say we've undertaken a project where we audited a financial statement. Beginning of last year end of last year and beginning of this year, we were doing the transaction item and meaning your income statement, and it's only now that we started undertaking the disclosures and the balances. And then majority of the publications were coming from the disclosures and the balances, which we currently are busy with. We may not have a clear picture, especially when it comes to these three items, which are prepayments, commitments, and accruals. The CFO and her team have already indicated that they've already started a process where they're performing this recon to make sure that they can identify the elements, which part is goods and services, which part is commitment, which part is accrual coming from the project, meaning the regional park infrastructure.
Am I understanding in these projects, the spending of money, and the problem is they didn't keep records in the form of under which of the three categories it has to go, whether it's a commitment, a goods and service, or an accrual.
Particularly on prepayments, because we found that there'd be goods that they paid for in advance, but the expense them as goods and services, whereas at that time was a prepayment. So we couldn't resolve that issue, but when we did our post audit, when we sat down with the client to try and discuss what's the way forward there, we agreed that they're going to go back to their records. They're going to go back 2 years ago at least and start doing the recon so that they can clearly identify which part forms the accrual, which part forms commitment, and what also good services and prepayment from those amounts paid to the implementing agency. So,
they're not finished with that. You're now only busy looking at that. They're not finished going back for 2 years.
They are done with it, but it's only now that we take
it. You are checking whether that has been done. Okay.
So I'm hoping for the 6 months of, if maybe you can give us an opportunity by the next committee, we might have input on that.
Okay. All right.
So those three items are sitting at it, but I must just say, Chair, on commitment, we've been looking at them. We did identify some problems currently, but it's something that we still need discussion with them so that we understand what they have actually done when it comes to the color.
Is that it?
Yes.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
So,
now,
No. I thought you
oh,
buy.
No.
When you buy it, just, you know, you snooze, you lose.
No, I thought you were still.
Don't worry. I do. I know I'm a man, but I can multitask.
Oh, okay.
I'm one of those people that can listen and write. I know most men can't, but...
Okay, we move on to the immovable assets.
Okay.
The immovable assets, Amade, is a qualification that comes from 10-11. We had it also last year. And last year also, it originates from the regional park infrastructure. But in this instance, it's a situation where we didn't have supporting evidence support the valuation of those infrastructures. My understanding from the CFO, which is also part of the audit we currently do, is that most documentation has been obtained and they have them in their possession, and it's a matter of us going and discussing with them and looking at those supporting evidence. So if that evidence is there, we could say there is a progress on obtaining those supporting documentation.
For commitments. No, no, we move over. Okay.
Irregular expenditure, I think here we're still experiencing quite a bit of a problem, especially when it comes to obtaining of three quotations, extension of contracts. So I think here it's a matter of interpreting the legislation, and it's still some of the issues what the difficulties they're experiencing. But you find that they're telling us that at times it's impossible to obtain the quotation. But what we're saying is that Treasury has specified that there needs to be certain processes that need to be followed if three quotations could not be obtained. And the problem now is arising from the reason that those processes haven't been followed. So we might still be experiencing quite difficulties or problems when it comes to this note, Chair.
The department has always been good with taking shortcuts when it comes to tenders.
Yes.
The whole top leadership has been removed because of tenders.
Yes.
But okay, so the tradition lasts, deep embedded.
Okay, sir. When it comes to compliance, currently we can just comment on only the 30 days, which is the only compliance we're having an issue with.
30 days?
The payment method to supply.
Oh, payment to
because at least this part of the audit, we've already done 6 months of the work on it, and we can be sure that it's some of the compliance.
The plan's looking good, you say? It's just
30
days.
Yes, so far it's just 30 days. Some may arrest from the transfers and subsidies, but those are some of the issues because we've given them the management letter and we haven't had time to sit down and decide which one. But we've had some that we've identified from the transfers they've made. So depending on that, we would know. I think another one that might be compliance, and it will depend if they are material, it comes from the overtime, where we say it was made in excess of the 30% as required by Treasury.
Mm, that's not good.
Yes, and PSR. The next item there is loan.
The CFO doesn't give herself overtime.
I hope so. I think so. I think most of these issues we experience in the region, meaning the regional offices. Because that's so...
That's about them.
Yeah, that's where we mostly experience problems, but head office maybe issues may not be as big. Loans, we've looked at loans, which was a new qualifying matter last year, and so far I think with what we've done, it may not be that material. We identified the issues, so I'm saying there's progress on this department, on the balance where the client has been able to go back and determine what the value of those loans. I think now the only problem we're having is the interest which are charged on this loan. But that's also something we can report on when we come back next time for the next meeting.
Loans to who?
It's loans that are 18 years ago. We had the one from Amajuba, which has been written off. I think there was also which one?
Who's Amajuba?
It's...
Yes, just tell me, who are you loaning money to?
Chair, this is loans that stem from, many of them from pre-94, in terms of the provisions of the Old Water Act, where you had a subsidy, or you had a system in place where governments could make loans available to municipalities and other water users on repayment conditions, and those are some of them. Amajuba is one of the municipalities in Panoa Natal where there's a significant loan that's outstanding. With the reconfiguration of local government or the transformation of local government at a time, the ownership of that loan has fallen between the cracks, and neither of the new municipalities want to accept the responsibility for it.
What year is this, ma'am? This year.
Yes,
what year is this year?
That's the 11-12, not the
13.
2013.
Yes. These loans come from before 1994. Yes. Isn't it time for the AG to let go?
No.
I mean, you like a bulldog having the phone. But I mean, to be honest, I had the same things in justice.
Yeah.
All the debts from the whole Bantu stunt. I mean, after 20 years, if you're trying to let this and you're giving a qualified statement, hurt these lot, yeah. They've got their own problems. You heard how many problems they got. Why do you keep these old problems there? Isn't there a way over here at some stage? I mean, look here. Legally, let me just tell you, if you want to think about accounting, legally, you can never get that money back. It's prescribed 50 times. So legally, they can never get it back. If I have to ask those people for money, Dubai has got a smart lawyer, but there's only one first lawyer in that area. But okay. But if you were to ask them, they'd say, no, don't pay the money, man. It's prescribed. You can never get the money. Can never be gotten back. So, you know, to try and keep this thing alive on the books, for these people to try and explain what happened in 1994, it is just... So please, ma'am, I like you that you do your work very strong and hard, but let the bone go on this one. Find a way to get a solution.
Yes, sir, but the reason why we look at it is close to being the financial business.
I understand that, but find a way of... In accounting terms, there must be a way. I mean, at some stage, if legally you cannot recover the money, then rather say, go to the PFMA, and if you have to, then punish someone, punish the person, get them, but then don't keep these things on the book.
Yep.
So let's find a culprit. He's probably dead by now. Or he's some apparatchik who is so rich he doesn't know what to do with the money. So go for him now. Or maybe, I don't know. But I'm serious on this.
Okay.
I know that you guys, I mean, accountants, you take beans. You can't drop the bean on this place. You drop them on one spot all the time. You guys are very set in your ways. But this thing here, man, it is ridiculous to keep qualifications on the books. I mean, here in the committee, we are not, no one here is going to fight with these guys about this. We're only going to have sympathy with them because what does she do now about debt before 1994? She can go back. And we can take 10 days to go through files and see if we can find who it is. Then we find this Amajuba, who is now not Amajuba anymore, it's now Amawuba, because they now create a new municipality. Then you have to go to these municipalities and try and explain to them that they've taken over a debt from 1994 and you would like to pay now. And again they'll say to you, but this thing is prescribed. Please don't come back to us, you're wasting our time. And they'll be right. So please, ma'am, this one, just do it for me, please.
I'm not going to be able to.
The
next one, Chair, the AOPO, please determine objectives. We've looked at the 13-14 and also the 12-13.
Is that also in this report?
Yes, it's also there. So what are you just saying that we're having issues when it comes to the usefulness of the information? The well-defined definition of indicators, the if we can verify those indicators, also...
But are you also agreeing that there's been an improvement?
Yes, I can
see an improvement.
Yes, I mean, even in discussion with them, you know, there is an understanding of what they know they should do, and that is why the 13-14 ATP is even more improved, because the length was the topic is the one we're currently in. There's not much change they could do, but for the next one, they did manage to do some changes, you know, before it was tabled. So, on AOPL, it's just that. But I must just say that there's been quite a big improvement in a lot of things, because, you know, we still have areas where we just go and look at something and you just know there won't be issues. And like previously, where you know that most of the time we'd experience issues. But
they tell me, and the CFO hasn't told me yet, she doesn't write letters to me, but I hear through the grapevine, because I've got spies in the department, I hear through the grapevine that the thing that we've asked in this committee for a long time, that the control of people dealing with finance must not fall under the unit anymore, must fall directly under the CFO. Now, I hear that has been done, and that's why I'm surprised the CFO didn't let me know, because if I had done something the committee asked me, I would immediately write to them and say, look what I've done. But he hasn't done that. But can you confirm that that's been done and that's starting to work now?
Chair, I can confirm that it has been done. From the regional offices we visited, we know for a fact that a circular was issued to them. The fact that is it effective, I think we can only find out in
the
next
few
months.
Down the line.
Okay.
Okay.
And it's only then we would know that.
But at least we've broken Ms. Baza and Mr. Muller and Mr. Matlangu. We've broken their control now over finance.
Yes.
Okay.
And the responsibility when it comes to financial matters can come back to head of the
now come, I can now hold the CFO directly responsible for everything. That's all I wanted. I wanted to be able to get through a very biased. All right, so those are the reports on the AG's office. The report on the main account has Ms. Mplongo, they're still in the beginning of it, so it's a bit difficult to say finally. So what she'll do is before the 16th of April, she'll just send us an update of where things are in writing, okay? And if you guys can, these things you said this morning, at least just put it on the report for us so we have a record of it, okay? Lovely. Okay, so if you guys have to go, you're happy to go, but I know your plans are, but you can leave whenever, don't have to ask, okay? Is there anything from Treasury as far as the financial statements are concerned you would like to bring under our attention before the CFO responds? Or not respond, give their input?
Chair, there are a couple of matters, but I'm going to try and keep them very specific just to the input from the Auditor General. I mean, just for us to reiterate that the improvement on the performance indicators remains critical so that we have a clear understanding of what is the targeted performance for the different projects and also what is the actual performance. We have required the department to continue to report against the initial plans because sometimes we get smart and we say, no, but the plan has changed and now the targeted, and we are trying to keep projects to the original planning and targeted date. So that we have both, as I indicated, the performance and the expenditure line that relates to this. This department is very intensive in terms of the infrastructure work. So we have pages and pages and pages full of projects. So if we keep things simple and clean, then it makes our work easier. Chair, I'm not quite sure if you wanted me to say anything about that. On outcomes for this existing year,
say anything you want. I've got them here. They kept the audience. Now we can ask them the questions and give us the information.
So the information we received from the department yesterday shows that the total expenditure for the year is at 93%. Obviously, they can spend some more money today. I think finance is the
today. This is literally the last day.
This is the last day.
Why the CFO wants to go after and go and sign checks.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the money that has not been spent as of yesterday was 590.7
million. 590.7
million. Yes, which is a very great improvement from where we were in the third quarter. They were at expenditure of 49.7% at the end of the third quarter. So by the end of the final quarter, we see that's greatly increased to 93%. It would be good to know that is also how the spending was planned. Then just some of the 590 details, it speaks to the Regional Implementation and Support Program, which is your program 4, speaking to the...
How many details? 500, 590.7
million.
No. This point you made now, that program 4, you said there are...
The areas of under-extension lies in program 4.
Oh, lies in program 4.
Mainly
okay.
The...
Not spent, mainly...
And it's about the Archibald Dam Water Quality Program, Regional Bulk, as well as the Active Mine Drainage Project that has led to the delays in
expenditure. Bulk and KMD.
Yeah. I stopped off by speaking to performance information. The one area that we'd like to work with the department this year is to improve the indicators for the ongoing work. You'll see in the estimate of national expenditure, I report to the completed bulk water scheme. But we are extending a lot of schemes at this time. So if you just look at the budget very superficially, you'll see that we increase the original bulk money by about 2 billion, but we go down from 60 schemes completed to 12, which looks really bad. But there's an underlying reason for that, and that is that our expanding schemes, so the amount of schemes that actually can be completed in the next 3 years is going to be less,
but
hopefully the amount of work that's going to be done is going to be more, but we can't really see that work. So we just need to look at a way to track the until it's completed.
Okay, that seems an important point, that one. Make a big ND there. But that's really to try and find indicators where there's ongoing work. And as you say now, when the schemes are bigger, find a way of tracking on how they're doing.
Yes. And then just on terms of this last year's budget, we have requested that we work with the Department on the Water Services Schemes that transfer grants, because we are currently working with an old policy framework that is not speaking to the reality of these schemes. So we have agreed with the department that by June we will find out the cabinet so that we provide a new way to do the transferring of old schemes. The Municipal Water Infrastructure Grant, our ministers have been in communication to indicate that, as you have predicted, if there are problems, what are the ways we can put in place to support those local municipalities, and we'll be working with the department.
Are these the grants you give us? Obviously, the grant is conditional. But are they, I mean, will you be able to, with the conditions that exist now, if one makes it, if you say something like this, the conditional grants are given to the municipality, but Treasury needs to see if they've got the capacity to perform that. And if they don't, then Treasury has got the right to allocate that money to someone that can, like the department or a water board or a whatever. Will the conditions allow you to do that?
Yes, there is already provisions on the department's responsibility to indicate if certain municipalities don't have the capacity. We have met with the department as to what is the criteria for the having got capacity, and we've kept it very simple. If the municipality by the 1st of July doesn't have fine contracts in place to deliver on the services, then the department can stop the money. So even before the money flows, they can stop it.
So the question is, you don't just transfer the money, you wait for July, and if those things haven't been done, then you don't pay the money.
You can literally go to the conditions and say you needed to do this before. It's a condition before you got money, you didn't do it, so we're not transferring.
Okay.
We also agreed here that we will be very strict on under expenditure, so we won't wait until the fourth quarter or the second year or whenever. If by the first quarter there is a lack or significant under expenditure, we will work with the department to shift that money. And there's also a provision for the department to help the municipality and for the local or the closest ward board to help that municipality.
Well, that's now I'm going to sleep very comfortably, because now that I know that, it helps a lot. But what that raises is then you, Treasury, and the department have to seriously go and look at how do you, as that money is now going to exponentially grow huge. And we know, I can tell you that not more than one of the 24 municipalities, if one, is going to be able to do the work. So ultimately it's going to happen, all the money is going to come back to us, and we're going to have to do most of it. That's what's going to happen. Which then means that you and the department need to sit down seriously, look at the growth and capacity of the department over the next 3 years. Because that is the outcome of it. Because otherwise, what is going to happen is, you're going to blame the department for mistakes which are not their fault. Because if July 1st comes, you now take the money away from the municipality and give it to them. You've now already lost 3 or 4 months. Now they have to spend that same amount of money, and they only have the capacity they have now. So they may still this year be able to do it because the amount is only 600 million. But come next year, start getting to billions and billions and billions, then clearly there's a problem with capacity. So all I'm just saying, you guys need to seriously look at this issue. And DJ, I'll leave it up to you as well to sit down and say, yeah. I mean, if there is a possibility that obviously you can build the capacity out of that money, the grants, you can build the capacity out of that, then I suppose the money is there, but then the point is still, you're only going to start building the capacity from the 1st of July. So you're going to have to then only contract people, and they're going to be, for them to be available, like going to be October. So I think you guys are now happy with the legal framework that we've got, But now we need to look at the practicalities of that. And obviously, I can't expect you to answer the question now because this is the first year we're doing it. But what I am doing, and I'm sure some of the members, particularly Ms. Wengo, who's been in local government, will add to this, that now we need to look at how we're going to make that thing work. Because it's no use either that we now only start spending the money in October. That you then start, and then, I mean, then you're definitely not going to have the money spent by the end of the year. And we're going to be back at the same problem. So I just want you guys to highlight that one and make sure that that can get done, okay?
There was one more thing in the current budget process that we picked up, and that is the narrative for the cash fund management agencies. So that we get clarity on what we are actually spending taxpayers' money on.
But it's good I'm here raising this because they know my views on this mandate of CMA.
Okay.
Just finally, for the next budget crisis, we are wanting to work with the department to reduce the inflexibility in the budget. So the earmarking, we're really happy to work with them to revisit some of that and work with the department on the pricing strategy, the water resource strategy, and to look at the improvements both in the working of the department as well as the entities. The department itself, there's lots of people working there, there are lots of consultants working there, and are facing a very large good, if you look at only unlevelling subsistence, it reaches 200 million by the end of the year. There must be a way that this department can work smarter.
7 subsistence, you say?
200 million by the end of the year.
200 million.
So we've got to find
ways to
get
there. A lot of that is traveling down to Cape Town. That's what I'm going to tell you. But okay.
I've got solutions for that. Thank you,
Jay. Okay, there's some good stuff you've raised there. Thank you very much. Now, what I'm going to suggest is that the Treasury, yourself, and the DG, that once you finish with the financial statements of that, so in the next month or two, I really suggest I would like you guys to sit down and all the issues that have been raised here, to discuss them, try and find solutions, and then send a report back to me. You know, let me just, for example, this thing about the municipalities. I think we should be preemptive. It allows us to take the money in 1st of July, but why wait for that? Isn't there a possibility, DG, that as far as those municipalities that the 600 million is going to go to, can't we organize meetings now, at the end, the beginning of April, sit down with them and say, okay, this money, this 50 million here is meant for you for this, whatever it is. Because you guys told me a specific allocation for specific projects. You say, okay, do you tell me that you'll be able to do this? Have you got the capacity? Who's going to do it? Who's going to oversee it? Okay, well, what we suggest is if you have got that capacity, let us now, through the department, create a plan where you guys will be fully on board, you'll be part of the decision-making, but so that we don't wait for July and let's say you can't do it. Let's see if we can't do that and actually preempt this thing. I know Ms. Mbaz is very keen to help with this, for example. She'll have all those meetings with those municipalities. Because it helps her that she doesn't spend money there and she has to come and account for it. So I want it to be preemptive. Let us, in the beginning of April, call those municipalities, have a meeting with them and say, this is the money. Are you going to be able to have this capacity? And then you guys make the assessment and say, but we're telling you that you haven't got a capacity. So how can we then build this capacity? Let us do it this way. Let's do the project through the department. We'll do it this. We'll get this kind of capacity for you and so on. You'll be fully on board. You'll be part of this. We're not taking the money away. We're just helping you to make sure you do the project. And see if you can do those kind of things as part of that discussion I suggested. Plus these other things. For example, mandates of CMA. That you should be able to sit down and discuss with them and say, but this is what the mandate is going to be. And then you say, but I don't agree with this. This is going to create problems. Or I do agree with it. And then the department, of course, finally has got to say, but at least you've given your input on that. You see, so all these things, good things you've raised here, plus all the other issues that have been raised and we will raise around this. Please, let's have that meeting. And if you do not give me a reason why you cannot do it, I then accept that you're going to accept meeting with every municipality literally as soon as you can, April, and talk through the capacity issue so we don't sit with the 600 million at the end not spent. Okay? So if anyone wants to respond to that just now, the DG and so on, I'm going to give you chances to respond to that. Okay? The AGs want to add something quickly? Yes.
Yeah, my apologies. There's two
no apologies needed.
Two issues on HR. We spoke about the functions that have been transferred from the regional to finance.
Yeah.
The important part is the proper change management process that is monitored properly, and that because circular is good enough that it needs to be monitored. By the time we give you feedback, the board would have known if it's effective or not, and it's managed as part of the change management process.
Okay, can I suggest as part of this meeting, I suggest that between the three of you, that's on the agenda. Okay? You put the item on the agenda, and we see to what extent of the part of this, actually literally the CFO has gone to each area to make sure that people are placing their lines of communication back to headquarters, how that works, and that they fully understand that Mr. Baza cannot tell them anymore what to do about finances. So you'll do all those things in that meeting, make sure that it's been done. It'll make part of that report that you give to us, okay? Okay, CFO, make a note.
So the last thing, just two key things with regard to vacancies, the Director of Finance, and the Director of Revenue in the WTS has been suspended for close to 2 years now.
Who?
The Director of Finance and the Director of Revenue has been suspended for close to 2 years, and that needs to be resolved.
The Director of Finance? What position is this?
Under the Director of Revenue?
It's slow. These things are very slow. This is like like Father Christmas. Very slow, only comes once a year. These things come every 2 years.
Remember when I reported last year about people who were suspended and who were whatever, we dealt with the DDD is gone, for example, corporate services, the DG asset is gone, the...
but we're not discussing with them now.
Yes,
I'm telling me things they have done.
Okay,
but I'm more interested in know why is this one taking 2 years. Now, what is your answer to that? Forget the other thing.
Well, I said this one.
You like padding, Mr. Mashwango. I just want the answer.
Yeah, but I said this one. I don't know why this was taking place. It's now fixed.
Yeah, but it's 2 years. We want to know. Only thing the member said 2 years.
Okay, they have been
trying. Mr. Mashwango, do not mess around with me. I don't care whether it's fixed or not. The question is, why does it take 2 years for this to do? That's all. Give me a reason why.
You're the
HR person. Why does it take 2 years?
I was
bullshitting, you know? You really like bullshitting.
No, because I wasn't here.
You don't answer the question. Answer the question.
I've answered the question. When I'm here, it's been done in time.
Why has it taken 2 years? Can you hear what I'm... Okay. You understand English? Why has it taken 2 years? Can you answer it? If you can't, you say, no, I cannot answer it.
I cannot answer it. I was not here.
Yeah, I've got big problems with you, Mr. Flanders. You're big, you talk big, and you all here, and you come and pair these in this way. You've done it every time. You've been here three times. And for three times I've had these problems with you. You always got long stories. I want you come here, you be honest with this committee. You're not honest with this committee, we show you no respect. You show these people that have been struggling with this department. I don't give the same message to the CFO, because she's honest with me. She went down to her report. She tells me, look at this, the consultants have been doubled and so on. She knows what I look for in this. She knows what the committee looks for this. But as soon as we deal HR issues, your first answer to this committee, if you remember well, I will never forget the answer. You said, I can't report on these things. These things are confidential. I'm not going to report them. That was your answer to us. I just sat and looked at you and I told you, hey, does this man understand this is Parliament and what he's saying to me? And since then, every time you come here, you can laugh at Ms. Mashwango. You can laugh like this at me. You can disrespect me if you want to. But I'm telling you, I will not take this nonsense on you. I will personally raise this with this minister and whether you are qualified to do this job. Because clearly, whenever you come to this, whenever you want answers from you, you have this attitude of yours. Now, DJ, I want you to understand this. I don't like this thing about Mr. Matlam. He has done it 3 times now when he's come to this committee. 3 times. He sits and laughs there, watching, smiling there, laughing at us. He couldn't care less. I don't know who he is and where he comes from and what role he's played in life that he can have that attitude to Parliament. But I'm not going to allow this. I'm just not going to allow this. What I will do, and I will ask Minister, to send someone else in future to come and deal with HR here. Because this man clearly does not understand Parliament, he doesn't understand procedures, and he doesn't have the respect for Parliament. I want you to please put this on his record. That this committee has said this. This is now the third time this has been done. Where were we? Oh, we don't have an answer. Okay. Leave it at that. Any other issues from Dr. Huang? I'm just going to take the partner's input, then I'll give you time for questions, okay? CFO, is now your input. Yes.
Sorry to interject. You just say we could just respond to the...
Yes. The investors are important, yeah.
Okay. Chair, if I could, just in reverse order, if I could do them. First of all, I note your irritation, and I will deal with it. And on the those two posts that have been... in process for 2 years, I will follow up and check, see what the reasons are, and we'll get back to you on this as well. But just starting first on the issues that Marissa from National Treasury raises, I was also going to raise issues around the risks around MWE, but she's fortunately put on the table some of the options that are available for us to make sure that MWE doesn't run off the rails. Because if you have a look at the audit findings on RB, where we could just compound those findings if we don't manage MWE properly, because there we would be transferring to municipalities, and in many cases municipalities who are battling with their own audits, and as accounting officer I won't be able to do those checks and balances there. But Marissa has identified some of the issues that we can put in place to deal with that. With regard to the engagement of the municipalities, I would just want to confirm with you or assure you that there is ongoing communication with the municipalities. We've already, with the 24 DMs that are going to benefit from the program, identified capacity gaps in the technical sector in particular, where they either don't or do have technical capacity. So that engagement is ongoing already. It's been happening since the last quarter of the 2012 calendar year. And the program, as it's put together, has been built up with those municipalities. We haven't been sitting in the office and putting the program together. And also there's been a lot of engagement with National Treasury around the conditions that go into the framework for the conditional grant.
All I wanted now to do is, I accept all that things that happen. What I want you now to do in the next few weeks, if you can, now to step that up, to call them for a meeting and try and tie down whether they've got the capacity or not and how we're going to move forward. Okay. So that's what I want you guys to tie down, after all the work you've done.
Chair, that will also be tied down at a political level in that Minister's given instruction for us to schedule a meeting. She's already had one last year in August, but as a follow-up meeting with all of the mayors, executive mayors of the district municipalities, plus the premier's offices, just to run through the program as well. So it's being held dealt with at the political level by Minister and at the administrative level. So that one, in terms of Marissa's input, just one comment around the inputs made by Vickers. And Chair, I would hate us to go out here today thinking that in terms of the metering of water, that the problem will be fixed in a year. I don't think it will. We have a large number of consumers on our database, well, not database, who are account holders of us, where the method of calculation of the accounts is based on volumetric application on area to be irrigated. And it's just the way that those scheduling has taken place and carried through from the old Act into the new Act and as a legal water use that they have.
And there is regulation now being passed for metering.
Yes, I just conferred with Elcott. He's just checking that they have been published for comments. And Elcott, can you just indicate quickly where you are?
See, that's the problem with metering. Yeah. We don't even have a legal framework in which to do the metering. So that's why we're trying to...
Chair, I'm just waiting for a response. I've sent a request to update me.
But in any case, you've asked for public comments, so there's now be a case that you soon can take it to the Minister for Signature.
That's great. That's the latest information.
Because then, I mean, only then can you start putting in the meter. And hopefully, if the CFO of WTE has got clever ideas, in future, the billing may be linked to conditions of putting in your meter. It should start becoming a condition of you paying and getting further account that you're actually putting the meter in terms of whatever regulations we've got. But until we've got the regulations, you've got no leverage. That's our big problem with this issue. And with the illegal use of the Vaal River, if you go and ask them the illegal use of the Vaal River, it's all the volumetrics. You look at the area that they spray, but you don't look at how many times they spray, and you don't work out really how much water, so you've got a kind of an aggregate. I mean, you're going to actually find that the money we're getting now is probably going to be much more when you actually put a meter in and actually say how much water they use. But, I mean, we don't know those things. So that's our big problem, okay? You want to add something, yeah? Just wait, Mr.
So if I could just continue. So Hilhart will come back to you just to indicate where we are with those regulations. The one item that will still potentially create a challenge for us around even the application of those regulations when they are finally gazetted is who pays for the meters and the issues that have already been raised with us, and we will have to have a look how that is dealt with, because through the consultation process, the users are already asking those questions. Who pays for the meter? The solar meters are not cheap meters. You know, like if you're putting in a metering system into a bulk supply that goes into a water user association, they're quite substantial meters and pricey. So we have to have a look at that. How we deal with that issue. I just thought I would raise that, just that we don't get out here today thinking that it's going to be a problem that's solved.
No, we're aware of that. We're aware of that issue. I thought we'd already gone further. I'm sorry we haven't, but...
Okay, and just, it also impacts on the authorizations that are in place, because the authorizations, as they are dealt with in terms of the National Water Act and the licenses, are mainly based on an application rate on area. So even the conditions of the various licenses would have to be evaluated, you move from application rate to a volumetric supply of water. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Do you want to add something from
the team? Chair, I think I said at the beginning of the year that the only issue has been to try and resolve is obviously the opening balances. And we need to find a way, and that's what we're trying to do, to work through a way and a resolution of how we're going to account for those license income within that. Isn't there a way? What do we conclude on? Should we stay impractical and move on? Because if we stay impractical, we will not qualify the previous year. We will just state in the audit report, stay impractical for them, and they need to disclose to actually meet those customers. So we just need to, so we're not saying resolve the matter of regards to meter, we're trying to resolve how we're going to get around our accounting for those.
And to work out a methodology. Now, please, DG, when you organize this meeting in April with the three of you, please, can you send me an agenda so I can see what other issues you discuss? Like that one you must put on the agenda. What methodology you use to create the opening balances. The issue of capacity of municipalities within week must be on there. And whatever other issues are on the CMA mandate. So all those issues, put them on the agenda. Let's try and get finality and sort it out. So next time you come here, you can talk with one voice and say these things are sorted out, okay? So that will do for me in April, eh? April meeting, April. And again, I want to congratulate the three units, AG, National Treasury, and the departments for working together like this. I mean, this is the only way. We each one have our work to do, and we mustn't in any way undermine our own work. But on the other hand, you only can do your work better if the people that you're doing it with are working with you. And that's what we're trying to establish. And I think you guys have done very well in this regard. So let's now, in April, push this up so the network works quickly the next year, works much better in terms of all the issues that we're all on the same page, okay? And then you guys send us a report when you've done it, okay? Thank you very much. CFO? Yes, of course.
Chair requested four things based on the financial statement part of the financial statement will be the expenditure report, and we also requested the progress on the audit and the SOPA resolutions and the projected audit outcome. I'll try to capture all these issues. I will first start with the expenditure. I'll start with the expenditure report as at today. What you've got on the screen is as at yesterday, because we did update the report, and that is what our colleague from National Treasury has reported earlier to say we are at 93%. However, today it has changed because thanks to the technology, I managed to do the remote controlling management. I have the...
This one, yeah, okay, sorry, I'm just trying to work out which document. Document one, okay?
Yes. I managed to get updated reports of today, this morning. We are now sitting at 95%. It has moved from the 93%. So in terms of expenditure, our expenditure has moved to 8.5 billion as of today. And as we have indicated, that there are still room for improving for today until 8 o'clock. But I must also indicate that in terms of our system, that we are on the cash-based system, we do sometimes have the obligations that we have with the implementing agents and also other entities that we work with. It was mentioned that AMD is understanding in terms of the reflection. But in terms of the obligations that we had of before they can do, there are some deposits that need to take place that is in our books we do record as prepayment, not as expenditure. And therefore it would not reflect as an expenditure in our books. And if we would take that into consideration, that would be AMD as well as RB. If we were to pay those and expense them from our books as an expenditure, we would be sitting at 98%. But to avoid any prepayments and the recordings, we record them accordingly as prepayments and we are sitting at 95%. The screen on the is very small.
That's very good for a department like this, very good, 98%. Potentially 98, but 95. Not too bad. Not too bad.
The,
of course, the noise is
better, but the screen is really small, but it's a screen that gives the economy of the classification. If we look at the earmark and the un-earmark, we are now sitting at 93% in terms of our earmark funding, and we are sitting at 101. Of those which are not exclusively. So all in all, it makes
9. See, the big under center there is 83%.
Then in terms of the analysis of the understanding, on program one, the major understanding is on accommodation. What we did, this was due to the fact that we may have over budgeted if it were to stay there, but when we did the budget, we included the cost that would relate to the WTE. But during the year, we then claimed that the cost that, because we had some shortages that we have between main account and WTE. So what we did during the year as we are doing our reconciliation, we then claimed back the money that was incurred by WTE on the accommodation before the budget is sitting in main account. We claimed back the amount of 23 million from WTE. Now it leaves us with the understanding in that particular item. And because this is the earmark, we cannot do anything with it without the approval to use for other other purposes. We then requested National Treasury to grant us approval in terms of giving us a shift of the amount of 18 million from that amount, because the current outstanding is 35 million. We have requested to use 18 million of that so that we can be able to defray the overspending that we have seen on the non-EMR. We are still waiting for that approval. Unfortunately, the delegation lied with the minister, so they are still on this. Then the next item that is underspending is the AMT 29 on program 2. That will be underspent. And
why do you want to take it away from the AMD money? Take it away from AMD? I mean, we've only got one tranche of money left. Why would we want to take it away?
No, they, we were going to move it to the implementation, which is under Program 4.
Implementation of AMD. Oh, okay. That's fine. It just looks terrible when you say you're for another purpose. But if you're saying it's still AMD, it's just to move it on. That's fine. No, I haven't got a problem with it. No, it's based on the program. That's fine.
And in terms of Program 4, the underspending is
Can I suggest that these three things worried me. I made a note just now with the IT stock and the services. Could you actually draft a separate short report for me, exactly what are these things that we're not doing? And just give me some of the reasons for it, okay? Can you send us a report on that? Because these three items are three huge items in terms of infrastructure and providing services. We've not been able to do so. Treasury also mentioned those three. Now, the problem is, if you have got a report to see what it is exactly, it's difficult to tie it down and try and find solutions. So I want a separate report on these three, okay, that we haven't been able to spend on and what are the problems that we're experiencing here. If you can do that, okay? So it's not all the underspend, it's just those three.
It's only those three, and as a result, those are the three that we are anticipating to be requesting the rollovers on. So we have made a slide on what would be our proposed rollover, and it's really because we have already committed funds on that, and because we could not expend them in our current financial year until the delivery takes place. And we will only be able to dispense it off in the next financial year. So we would be requesting the rollover for the hard disk to the amount of 16 million. And for AMD, we will be requesting 108 million. And for Arbit Capital, we would also be requesting the amount of 132 million. So those would be our proposed.
What is the hard disk amount that you're going to ask for?
We will be asking 16 million.
162. 162.
Yes.
162. 162.
Yes, for the
Arctic.
Project.
Okay, got it. So I need a separate report on
those
three, okay?
Yes, and as I explained, these are the prepayments that we have already made for them to be able to continue to with the work to get the pipes so that it can be installed. And to avoid what AG has mentioned earlier on, we have the records in terms of the documentation and supporting documents of why is this prepayment, and we don't foresee that we'll have any challenges in that regard. Then in terms of the progress on the audit findings, really AG has made some inputs. It's not going to be different that much, but it's to indicate to you what we have done. In terms of qualification one, that is related to the prepayments and advances that is related to RB, have gone out to all the regions to do the reconciliation of the figures, and we have managed to get the documentation. Where we did not get the documentation, we have sent the archive itself, because one of the reasons was those figures were not recorded in our asset register because they were not classified either as being capital or goods and services. But with the exercise that we have done of the reconciliation, we have classified them on goods and services and asset register, and then we have updated our asset register accordingly. So in terms of goods and services, it was mentioned that this item will be off our books because it was the comparative figures from the previous financial year. With regard to irregular expenditure, we have updated irregular expenditure. But on top of that, to manage the process of the irregular, we have now established the misconduct board that will look at all the cases and refer to the DG for condonement for those that require condonement. And the team is made up of all elements in the department, including legal services and HR, so that when it requires a disciplinary action, we recommend the disciplinary action at the same time. Then the DG, when he condones something, that action would be taken into account. With regards to commitment, we have gone back in terms of reconciling, and all sites in terms of our regional are now on logic system, and I can report that already the two regions are effectively working on commitment, and the RB projects are now committed on the system, because as it was indicated that our commitment was incomplete regarding the ARPIC, because ARPIC projects were not committed in the system, but we have now started with the commitment. And
when will you be finished?
By end of this financial year that we are going into, all sites will be using the system in terms of committing the ARPIC project.
So next year, March.
Next year.
I hope you don't wait until then. I hope you finish it before then.
As I'm indicating, two are already committing fully, and we have taken stock of them. The immovable tangible assets that is related to the RBIC, I have reported that 200 out of the 275 million that we were qualified on, 222, we have documents, as we have reported, we have included them in our interim financial statements, and AG will go and testify. And the remaining 50 million, we have updated our asset register, and the assets are physically available on the site. The next one, the movable one, will be off the record in our books for prospecting. The loans, as it has been reported, sent for supporting us in terms of loans, because indeed what we have done after this qualification, we had to go to the archive and get all those files in terms of the old loans that has been granted. And I'm hoping that AG will commit themselves indeed in terms of looking at that. But we have not let it when we are putting all the efforts in terms of looking at the file. And the project AG in terms of compliance, and in terms one of the other issues, which was the letters of emphasis, was the issue of material underspending on our books. With our reports that we have made now, we have really improved in terms of financial management and also in our expenditure. The issue of contract management, and it's still an issue that we are working on as a department. We will be improving. will then quickly move in terms of the projected audit outcome, although for us it's very difficult to indicate, but I may report in terms of the progress that we have made so far. We have embarked on a different approach in this current year, looking at the manner that we, the time when we submit the documents to AG, we close the book on 31st of March and then we start giving them on the 31st of May and they look at the disclosure list. Then we did the different approach in terms of doing the full set of financial statements for the interim, for the interim, and we submitted the financial statement with the full disclosure note. The interim management letter has been issued to us, but we are still waiting on it. The AGS, they have responded. They are in the process of auditing the disclosure notes. We are expecting to get the report by the end of April. That is the time frame that we have put together. In terms of the communication, we have really improved our communication, and we, on top of the monthly audit selling committees that we have, there's also a quarterly meeting that I held between the minister and the AG. And the last meeting that we had, which was on the 22nd of February, there were positive remarks that were given by AG in terms of the progress and the significant improvements that we have made. The focus areas that we will be looking at to ensure that we work towards the car, we have the car that we are working towards. The car is the key audit report. Now I'm scared because I saw that there is another car in the recently, so I'm actually scared to use that with anyone. But we would need strengthening our contact management, as I indicated, the elements that we are looking at. We will also improve on the SPM compliance to reduce the regular expenditure. The AG has indicated that we have improved on the compliance, except on the issues of the three quotations as well as the payments within the day. And the issue of...
Ma, what is the problem with that? Three quotations. If no three quotations, there must be a certain procedure you follow. Why are we not doing it?
We do, I think...
Who is not doing it? Give the name.
Nelly has indicated, Chair, that the issue of interpretation, because what happens if we request the interpretation, we send out the request, then only two companies, they would respond, and not three. And what we do, we have a form that we fill in terms of two, but not three, five were issued out, but only two responses that we have received. We then continue with the procurement based on...
Where is the interpretation problem?
The interpretation is on the practice note of 2007.
What does the practice note say?
The practice note says, in the event of it's difficult to get the three quotations, the department may continue with what they have, but give the motivation in terms of why the three quotations are not obtained. As I indicated,
that's simple. So what is it that we're doing wrong? What is it that the, let me rather put it this way, what is it that the AG and the Treasurer are saying we're doing wrong and therefore qualify?
Chairperson, if you allow, I think I will be able to give you the feedback after we have interrogated with the interim findings that we had. During this week, we've been having the meetings with them to clear off all those findings that were in our interim. And this was part of them, but I will definitely give the report on them. Because it's really the issue of the interpretation.
To me, it just looks like a recording issue. I mean, you surely are covered fully if you write down everything. If you say, this is the way I've advertised it, this is what I've received, And in terms of the practice note, it says I can continue with a 2. I'm now continuing with a 2 because I need this to be done quickly. I can't wait another 5 months or whatever, whatever. And it's an issue of, it looks to me it's an issue of recording that stuff properly so that there's a record why you must follow the 3. And obviously, the problem is with recording. Something is in the recording we're doing wrong. So this is another issue you put in that other meeting to finalize once and for all exactly what is the format of how you do it when you don't, and when you're not allowed to use more, less than 3 and so on. Okay. So this seems to me to be something that can be solved very easily.
Then in terms of control, we have improved our internal control. We have established the internal control unit in main account. It talks, I think, similar way with compliance. The director goes to us at the time. We are waiting for filling the position, but we are making...
So do you have a compliance office? Do you have this
unit?
The unit now that does that, make sure there's compliance.
Yes.
And it looks like the main account didn't have as many queries as the WTE account, which doesn't have compliance officer. Am I summing up correct what I've heard here? They say those guys don't have an office, so they do bugger as far as compliance is concerned. They said there's some problems with compliance around the payment of the 30 days. And they raised another thing, the quotation thing. But other than that, they're happy with you complying with compliance. So that's what I'm saying. But you have seen that you have an office that does specifically, and they're relatively happy with what we do except those 2 issues. They don't have one that specifically does compliance, and they have a problem with everything on their compliance. Okay. You don't have to answer them. I think you think it's putting him in the eye. You're not. It's already been said, so the cat's out of the bag, so it doesn't matter. Okay, so compliance, you've got a unit, he has got a unit.
Yes. Then the last item is really that all efforts are in place to working towards an unqualified audit report for the current year process. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Now, was there anything you had to respond to? The one was the compliance officer, but I can't remember if there were others. Just do that quickly. Yes? Well, specifically the compliance officer, have you got in your back pocket? And there was something else I also asked, have you got in your back pocket?
No, we don't have a compliance officer in our back pocket. What we've been doing, I think you need a specific person that, a unit, as Nelly is saying, is indicated, that does compliance, particularly in the trading environment, where the number of X that are continuously changing that we need to comply with. If you look at, if you benchmark ourselves with other industries, etc., you would have very highly senior people looking at this because the law changes. We're talking earlier about meter reading, etc., financial implications on finances. So it's a lot more than just making sure you've got documentation. But
what do we do?
So in that regard, I mean, we've got the structure that has to be approved. We're working with corporate services in making sure that happens. So this position will not only be financial, we should look at compliance costs, the sector. And one of the, obviously, what one of the focus...
What are you saying to me? I mean, in principle, haven't we got approval for this compliance unit? We still need approval.
I think the overall, overall business model, the overall WTE structure has not been officially approved. The wrong way of, I'm not sure if I'm speaking out of turn. I know that we've done.
Have you sent it somewhere?
I think we have sent it to. We have sent it a number of different places. We certainly had our input into it. So I don't know. Maybe Mr. McCandle.
What is the story here? I mean, we've got a compliance unit. We know it works relatively well with the department, but then as we further capacitated, I mean, here we've got a unit of 94 billion rands of stuff, and what's sold up?
Chair, the final structure for the department in terms of the reorganization has not as yet been signed off. And that's where we are.
My problem is if you wait for the whole thing to be signed off, there can be hundreds of delays in other areas. If our books are being held back on being qualified orders all the time, and all we need to do is put and everyone agrees there must be a compliance unit. To me it's a no-brainer. Why can't we at least approve that part of it and wait till, because I know like Mr. Miller and Ms. Mabasa have got big plans for the expansion of their units and so on. Now that's going to take a long time to approve. While they are important, this one may not be the only one, there may be others as well. It's important where we at least approve that because we know it's going to have to be approved.
Chair, what I'll do when we get back to see whether we just go the route of while the structure hasn't been approved is just get someone additional to the establishment to perform those tasks.
In fact, as I'm talking and now I'm thinking to myself whether a compliance unit shouldn't be one compliance unit for the whole department and the WTE. It just seems to me that it's a much simpler if they're going to do the same job of compliance. All they have to do is they must check whether things have been complied with. It doesn't need big, it looks like we need one unit that is properly capacity because as the CFO of WT points out, you need specialized people to do this. So to create two groups of specialized people in one department, it doesn't seem that clear.
Chair, we could have a debate, I'm sitting between the two CFOs and they argue very strongly that we need...
shouldn't worry about it taking
that. I've listened to the arguments back home around it as well in terms of the different systems that we're working on. Where main account works on a cash basis and the WTE is on an accrual basis.
And that's why I agree that it would be two CFOs because of that. But when it comes to compliance, that doesn't apply.
Compliance is
there's a law... And all you have now check is whether they comply with the laws. You don't need two units for that. CMO is wrong for the shaking the ADM. She's wrong.
Take notes of your comments.
Yeah, please. And even if you don't want to take notes of the comments, at least create a unit for that one and wait money. But okay, but at least do it. There was another way to do it. There was another back pocket thing that I raised. What was the other back pocket? It was the one, the compliance unit, and then the next one, the next point they made was also that you had to do something.
It was the conversion.
The conversion from the old to the new, which was quite easy. Yeah.
It was the two-month assignment that you gave me.
Mm.
Yes. It's removed from SAP 4.7 version to ECC 6. So it's quite technical. But basically, in the old implementation, it was a fundamental flaw. It's part of the presentation that I had the opportunity to still see. Is re-implemented, for example, SAP is an ERP, which is an enterprise resource planning system. So basically, in the business that we have, for example, you would, as construction, as project management, as the issue of a contract management that you were talking about.
That's all good. I know all those things. Right. I'm asking now, how quick can we transfer from the one to the other and tell me what you need to
it's
do?
We've already started. We've commenced with the conversion.
How long?
We're in 2 months now. The plan is the first phase in a number of different phases. So what we want to do is the current functionality that we have in the current system to bring it over to a new system with a number of different improvements, some very significant improvements, particularly around revenue. The plan is to have it done by the end of October of this year. Then there's some other additional value as bring the rest of the business in line, for example, on project management in the area of costing, etc., which works on the operational side. And that will be the second implementation. Also what is called business objects, better improved reporting. For example, you'll be able to sit as we sit right now and enter online, get onto the system via smartphones and so on. So that's the second place to get more value. That is planned for another 9 to 12 months. So for that second phase. So by the end of this calendar year, at worst, we should have the conversion done. You obviously have to run parallel, make sure that the system, what you used to get out of the one system is correct now with the to really implement the system with the reconciliations, of course, etc. So, bottom line, the plan is by the end of this fiscal year or calendar year.
Try and move all that much quicker and have everything done by the end of the fiscal year.
Sure.
Everything, phase one and two. You remember the, remember what you, this is a contract. You're contracting people to do this. When you create a contract, you are in charge of the terms of the contract because you're the boss. So you put in the contract to make sure that they finish by the end of the 1 year. I mean, why would you want to drag it out over 2 years if the contract and the finances get put in for? So, okay, this is going to take end of this financial year to finish IT, okay? Madam, you want to be appointed as a DDG there.
Please
make sure this happens. Okay. So those two are sorted out, and then you had something else to add, CFO?
So the last request of your chair in regarding to the scope of resolution.
Yes, you you've got that.
Yes, you find the update in our annual report from page 99 to 101.
Have you done what they want?
Yes.
Okay.
It's also the movable assets and goods and services, which was different qualification in that particular year, which we have moved. That's why for 11 and 12, it was not there. And
okay. Now, before we get to the opening up for questions from the members, can you just summarize for me, DG, the issue was raised about from the AG's office about leadership positions still being vacant. Just summarize for me which ones are still vacant, because I know some of them have been sorted out and so on, but which, let's check which ones are still, we know now that the, in the WTE, the Director of Finance and the Director of Revenue is two positions that are, need to be filled soon when they're disciplines. Now, what else are they still left? Those two and?
Chair, can I just go into the database and just look at the post quickly like you can take questions?
Yeah. No, that's fine. Okay, then you just give us, just so members can remember, you told us yesterday you're filling these two and you're filling it, but I didn't take a note, so.
Okay, well,
yes.
Chair, those that have been filled at the most time have set line around the DVD level, two that have really advanced.
So those two on advanced stage and then the others? Okay, so the one that's still in abeyance corporate services, the others are all advanced.
Yeah.
And then the two directors of WTE, once the disciplinary stuff are over, then they can advertise that as well.
Correct.
Okay. So those are all the top positions that are vacant. Anything else? That is. Okay. Okay, members, then, a whole lot of issues for you. Questions? Dr. Huang? Ms. Wenger? Ms. Ferguson? Sana.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got three questions I'll be asking. In first report, from the edge side, there is a highlight for this municipality law. I think you call the name the Amachuba. It's Amachuba since 1999, start, not 1994. So the 1994 is got two very small municipalities. These are from the Newcastle area. So the Amachuba is since 1999, but your loan is taken from the 1994. So I don't know which municipality can take this loan, and Amachuba can take over for all that is outstanding. This one is quite a concern for me. Is I don't think that this fund can get back. But I need this detail, who is this loan, and how much you buy, how much. Can you get a breakdown for me? And secondly, I don't know it's on for the today's shepherds and we get a little page. This page is adjustment page, you know, the separate, because from your presentation inside, if I look in the same. All same amount. You see, the analyze the understanding for earmark funding. So special for the, I look in the regional implementation and the support. Your total amount is 575 million and 726. I don't know if the CFO for the, your calculator is there. It's all the amount is from the center support and the regional water service project and the AMD. This is total amount is 575 million. I don't think so you are at the wrong. Because this one is 595. 599 million and 523. So it's less than 20 million rand difference. I don't know how you calculate the this. Chairperson, I think in this one I need a CFO can reach out. Also, you highlighted today in the delivery of the invoice. I think it is, we said payment, there is a, you say it's from the 60 day or the, how many day for payment? Because a president, the people do my public announced, it's all the department payment, you can't over the 30 day for payment. So, this is today for in the delivery of the invoice is a big question for me. If I'm the contractor, I'm a finish the job, but before I finish the job, I already prepared for the invoice to the department. Why is it taking delay for the invoice for you? They are needed the money. I don't know what reason. And I think it is from the AG funding for the your audio funding for your underspending for the department, underspending 9%. Total is the 863 million rand for underspending. Underspending for the two items. One is the water status management. You say it's a 340 million. But I brought your APP. Yesterday there is a presentation, APP. Your 2012 and the 2013, your total is a 440 million. But you last year, you underspending 340 million. I don't understand the 1 year how you can run in for it, whether this program to only utilize the 100 million rand. I think the CFO, I need you explain to me. And also, for the regional implementation and support, you understand it for 398 million rand. But from your APP is, your 2012 and 13 is 5,283 million rand. So you underspending 386 million. But the reason from the you need to understand in this detail, this breakdown, because you were too many items in the program 2 and the program 4. So how you can get this amount from the auditor can fund you understanding for total 8%. So I think it is a quite a big question for me. And the other thing you say is underspending with reading about the infrastructure grant, because the reason is the slow pace of delivering goods and the service challenge. But from your goods and the service challenge, your goods and the service for the quotation, now you highlight the quotation, this without the quotation for the under the 500,000 rand. I think this is a big issue for this department. Because I saw question, you know, why this department, DG, almost DG just waiting 1.5 years and run away. This is 500,000 rand, not a small amount. You don't need any question. Because this one was highlighted by the treasury regulation. It's 16A 6.1. Required price quotation without the required price quotation was 500,000 rand. If you divide the for the one item of 5 million to the 10 times, you don't need for any quotation. I don't think so. This is good. It's under 50,000. You can say is without the quotation requirement. But 500,000 is big money. So I don't know. This one by the treasury regulation is already highlighted. Yes, right. But I think this is like a lot of problem for the department for the process about the big tenders. So I think this is three questions or checkers are needed for from the a DG and CFO side can be prepared for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Wenger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am concerned about the MWIG and how it's going to be affecting municipalities as far as capacity goes. As you know, the EBA said they had a serious amount of program with the engineers were allocated to municipalities who were now withdrawn, and the slack has not been taken up by anything else in order to keep that capacitation to municipalities. I think what we should be looking at is probably an equivalent of something like that, because you know that the administrators are not going to be able to afford to pay for the engineers to get in space, specifically with low-graded municipalities. And I think that, for me, is a concern, because I think we cannot afford the MWIG to run into problems at all, because I think it's very important that they take place. As far as the volumetric calculations of the water losses and so on, I have also encountered that, you know, at the moment, with the figure that has come out today, it's about 40% losses. Those 40% losses, I don't think, are actually realistic figures that we are talking about. Because what I have come across as well, Chair, is that in municipalities, when it comes to free basic water, those volumes are actually not metered. And because they're not metered, they're actually reflecting as losses. And I think that's giving us a distorted figure, the exact water loss figure that we are reporting. Reporting, I believe, a higher loss figure than they actually get. It is given that there's a problem with the infrastructure and the leaking and so on. In a lot of municipalities I have encountered, the free-based water is not being metered. So I think that's something that...
In the methodology of doing it, yes. We don't have a right methodology, so in the end of the day, we just throw it under losses.
And actually not losses. Because the equitable share comes in to bail that figure out. So we're reporting higher figure than it should be. So that's just my thing that I think we need to look at that very seriously. And as national treasury goes, I have always argued, and I'm going to continue arguing, the alignment of the financial year of municipalities as well as the national and provincial funds. Because that is where the major problems come from. They're not aligned. One is finishing, the other one is starting. And there's a three-month gap from the one, there's a three-month gap from the other to take up that slack, so it's 6 months out. And then at the end, it looks like fiscal dumping, while it's actually processes that are not aligned in order to take slack. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, that's a hell of a quote, and I didn't realize that. I mean, you have three levels of government performing functions in the same competent water, but they have different financial tests. Now, how on earth do you drop budgets and you... I mean, all the things that we've argued in the past, that each one keeps their capacity what they do, but that you do the planning centrally, and you budget centrally. So what I mean by that is, if water boards have put in these pipes, the municipality has put in that pipe, make sure that all the pipes are in one plan and budgeted for. Not like now. So one person goes and asks for money, the other one didn't ask for money. So you put in pipes to go from year to year. But these people haven't got a budget for year to year. Or if they had a budget, they're going to spend it on something else. So to centralize planning, but execute it where you are, and the thing that I didn't realize, with all the different financial years, is a serious, serious problem. I hope that a lot of these issues get raised during the budget vote, because we want to speak to people other than ourselves. Yeah, we now know all these issues, but you know, when I raised this with, for example, the Minister of the Treasury, I mean, he wasn't aware at all of these problems. Yet, it's the Treasury that decides on the budget. It's kind of fascinating. Obviously, you can't have everything up there. So you pick up in our little area of water, you pick up, but our funding model just doesn't work. And our planning model just doesn't work. Because the system is fragmented. This one does this, this one does this, this one does this, but they all should create one system. So you have weaknesses in the one, or you just don't have anything in the one, no planning, no money or anything. And of course the system doesn't work, and you get what happens in Ugeni Water. Ugeni Water's got a surplus of like half a billion rand. Like, how, why you got a surplus? Because Zulu Natal needs water, needs pipes. They said, no, the problem is every time we budget for pipes, the municipality doesn't budget for it. So then we don't put in the pipes that we have got money for from government, and through extra tariffs, we don't use that every year because the municipality doesn't plan for it. Therefore, it would be stupid for us to put half the pipes in and then
they have put their pipes, people steal all the pipes. So those are the kind of genuine problems that we can see. There was a fragmentation of the system, and then we created funding and standing models that just don't work. Further, to make it even worse, there are budgets that are not in line with each other. They're at different times. So these are issues we need to keep engaging with Treasury and others. I can already see movement. With the MWIG, there's clearly movement of what we've pushed. I don't think it's enough yet, but at least it's moved away from a big problem that we had. Okay, Ms. Ferguson. So I hope those things are all raised in the budget vote strongly.
Thank you, Chair. I also just want to just pick up on the whole municipality issue. And every time we talk about the lack of trust in municipalities. But what I just would like to the department, the Treasury, AG office to do is to report to you, Chair, round about May, on what the progress has been so far in the engagement with the municipality, so that we don't come in or in end of June and then suddenly there's a problem. So just on that. And then one other thing I just would like to highlight for yourself as our chairperson is this whole write-off of the pre-94 debt. Maybe you can have a conversation as well with the various treasury ministers and things and just highlight what a waste of real valuable time it is. Treasury commented on something that really stood out for me. They said in the third quarter, 45% of the budget had been allocated and spent. And today we are sitting at 95%. And the question was, what it planned this way? And I'd really like the department to respond to that. Because was this suddenly all the money we pushed in the other 50%? Because there was an urgency in May. Just so that we know whether the planning the department is correct. And when we do plan for the last quarter or the
well, part of the problem, I know it answers, and I let them answer that question.
Yes.
But part of the problem is this RP.
Mm.
Once you transfer monies and you've got a right to withhold it, what happens is they don't do things for 6 months. So then you spend the money in the last 6 months because that's when they start seeing, okay, this money is not going to be spent. So, but let them answer it themselves.
Yeah.
I can already see where some of the problems are.
Yeah. But it is a concern for
us. Is it planned like that or is it just that we... The system is not working and therefore we're paying everything in hand.
Yeah. Obviously for me, a big concern again is also the payment of suppliers. We shouldn't be doing that. And I don't think that the response is, I just like a more expanded response on that. The problem that we have on the payment of suppliers. There was a whole lot of questions that I wanted to ask, but some of it has been answered already. The thing that also starts for me, Chairperson, is our leadership position. And of course, we went down the road about 2 years and what had happened. But Ms. Mishlangi commented on the DG, and I was going to ask the question as to why the DG is not here, and he made a comment, and I just wanted to expand on that. He said, the DG is gone, and as a member of the committee, I'm not sure what has happened there, so if you can just...
Just get a report back.
Short. I'm going to leave it there, Chair. There are a lot more, but I'll hear what the responses are. Thanks.
Mrs. Osama?
That some of the questions have been asked by my colleagues, but I just want to emphasize on the point of conditional grant. I should think this matter is very crucial. It needs the department to handle it with care that it deserves, because some municipalities, those who are in the rural areas in particular, they are more than those who are in urban areas. They are surviving with this grant. As much as you take this grant and control it properly, you must check some disorder and some breaking of the services and so on. Just let's handle it with care and deal with it as it deserves so that we can make sure that the implementation of services should not stop. That's my comment, Chair. And I know very well...
I like that comment because what it makes me think is we've asked the Treasurer to do a two-pager for us to explain all this funding and what it is. But I'm now thinking, DG, what it isn't on line with Ms. Susanna is saying now, whether we shouldn't actually maybe sometime in May or June have a one-day workshop with us, with you, with Treasury and with the AG, and then look at all these financial sources that exist where we're getting all our money from for the water sector. To say, in our week, this is what we use it for, there's M week, this is what we use it for, there's the main account, there's the water, the WT account, and take all that, and then there's from the equitable share, this is given to municipalities, and look at getting you guys to prepare properly and show us where all that money is coming from in all its fragmented ways, what are the conditions of it, and actually to have a look at it so we all can get a holistic picture of this spending pattern, and then to try and discuss and identify things like that the budgets are done at different times, that we don't have central plan, that the funding model is that we give money to the municipalities which they don't then have to spend, but that has started to shift now through the M week. And then have a whole look at that so that we all can get be on the same page. Is that worth something considering, Mr. Susana? Having something like that where we in more detail can go into the theoretics of this. The basis of the spending and how where it comes from. Is it worth considering that? Okay.
It's just we'll do that. Mouthful. And also, the second part, the issue of the GDG was dealing with the region. The capacity business was indicated to a finance sector of the department. And also the GDG, she or he must consider the directors that deployed in various regions and build a capacity there for this issue of a conditional grant to be handled correctly. I should think one of the issues that must consider. Thanks, Chair.
And be part of that workshop as well. All right, can I give that task to both the department and the Treasury that you start preparing an agenda for the kind of, we're making a one-day workshop, but we need more time, we can then, we try and fit it in somewhere. To do a one-way workshop where we all sit down and we take the top officials in the department, plus Treasury, plus, so that we all have an understanding where this comes from. The CFO can clearly be part of the planning, both CFOs, of the planning of this, so that we break down all this stuff that we've tried to do in the 2 days now. And I've actually learned a hell of a lot of things that I didn't know. Even in the last 2 years, just in the last 2 days. And quite a lot has happened there. So there's clearly movement and changes, but I think a one-day workshop like that is going to stand us a good stead. Maybe we can invite SCOPA as well to be part of that so they can also see what's happening and whoever else is necessary. But can you two look at the kind of agenda that we can have? And really what I'm trying to look at is where are all our sources of funding? What are they used for? And so where do they come from? What are they used for? What are conditions are attached with? And so to what extent, how fragmented is our whole funding base? So we can fully understand that fragmentation. And then out of that, we want to look at things like, you know, maybe we should try and align all the budget. Maybe we should try and create sets for planning, and Treasury should not fund anyone until there's a plan for the whole pipeline. So different people can give their plan, but there must be a plan for the whole pipeline. So you don't only fund if the department sends money for it or water from year to year. You want to make sure that whoever's going to use that water equally have got plans on the table so you can see the whole plan. So central planning. And then the funding model. Is M week with its conditions, is that the ideal thing? Is R week an ideal tool? Are there better tools that we use? Those kind of debates you want to have, Mr. Balser and Ms. Moore. Okay. So we've got that on our agenda as well. A workshop one day, somewhere in May or June, okay? All right. Any other questions before we can hand over to the department, Ms. Ferguson?
All those agencies, aren't they sort of starting visiting in just looking at
something,
land-based and things? Can
you
be part of that workshop? Can we talk about it?
Well, that's part of the NWRS, as I understand it. Isn't it part of there? I understood that where you're going to... So we're going to ask Mr. Mulder to come in May, early May, to come and report back on the progress with the finalization of the NWRS. But there are things that we definitely need input on, and that is What are, I mean, they've taken a decision, for example, there must be nine CMAs. So we haven't engaged with those kind of details, but we'll put that on the agenda. That's part of also what the AG had asked about the mandate of CMAs, okay? So I think we'll do all that. I think that time we'll spend when they come report back on the NWRS, because those issues, new issues are dealt with in that document, okay? Alright, so the part of other issues, I forgot the one that Ms. Perkins has also raised. Just tell us what is the status of the processes around the DG at the moment and then all the other questions that have been asked.
Thanks, Chair. I'm going to get some Sambi Singh just to help on a number of the questions and also Hilkha Muller and Tondeka and Basa, but I'll start with the one in reverse order. With regard to the DG, DG currently on suspension and there's a disciplinary process being followed. That's as much as I can really indicate.
Well, I thought there were two processes. Maybe Mr. Maslam can help. There's two processes, I understand it. One is the DG was appointed on probation. So the first question is, do you, I mean, you evaluate by probation, you evaluate the person's work and then you, I mean, if he's been suspended, clearly someone's unhappy with his work. So clearly that's the one process, and then the second process is the disciplinary one. Understand that there are two. The right, Mr. Maslam was nodding as well. Do you want to add anything to what the DG said, Mr. Maslam? Is those two right? Because there's two. Probation. I actually thought he was appointed permanently. But probation actually means that after a while you assess his work, and then if you don't think he's done well, then you can not continue with it. So that's the one issue. And then the other issue, I understand there's certain things that was felt he's transgressed as a DG. And so there's also the possibility of a disciplinary hearing. So those are the two processes that are busy unfold. Now, I want to add something here. Is, you know, I had requests, and I want to say this publicly, because I don't want anyone to go to the media. I know it's going to happen. They go to the media, and they have told the chairperson these things, the chairperson of the DG has sent me an SMS to say that he's now ready to come give his case to the committee and so on and so on and so on. Now, I haven't responded to him, but I want to be very clear. This is not a court of law. We're not here to decide between who's right and wrong, whether the minister is right or the DG is right. It's not our job to do it. Once there's been disciplinary processes, what Mr. Madlango confirmed now, the two processes, once they've dealt with those processes, of course, then we can ask the department what has happened, da-da-da-da-da-da. But we cannot take the DG to come here as an antagonist who's been suspended to come and give his input on a bench. Then you've got the minister or whoever the DG comes in and gives his side. Now, what are we going to do as a committee? We're going to sit here and listen and then we say, this one's right or that's wrong. No. There's labor processes that are taking place. And in fact, if I were to ask the department, tell me this, and they say, but Chair, you know you're a lawyer. You know you're going to undermine our case. If we come here in public and tell you these are all the things you're doing, then we're already putting our case out there. So I want to be very clear if these things start going to the media and so on. I have received a request like that, but there is no way that we as a committee are going to sit in labor disputes and try and get involved centrally. It's just nothing that we can do about it at this stage. The thing must run its course. The best we can do is, of course, urge the department to go do these things quickly, efficiently, effectively, to create stability and certainty as soon as possible. But the one thing we cannot do is if there are officials that are in disagreement with either the DG or the minister, call them here and be a court and listen to them and say, we agree with this one here. There's no way we can do that. Okay. So I want to do, if anyone wants to go to the media, that is the response. I would like the committee to tell me whether they think we are right with that response. The other problems that they also may have in the department with each other about issues, again, these are processes that are taking place, whether there are tenders or whether there are contracts or whatever is happening. We cannot as a committee. I mean, imagine if I start asking questions to the department on contracts and tender processes. The next minute someone's going to turn around and say, John Delana, he's starting to meddle with the outcome of the contracts and the print. Because that's the we start asking, but what is happening here? What is the tell us? That's exactly what people are going to say. We are meddling with those processes because we want certain outcomes of them. So I want to make it very clear, and I want the committee to tell me whether I'm right or wrong. When it comes to these processes, they must run their course. And we cannot sit and fight with, be in the middle of disputes that are raging in the department. The processes must go their way. Then, once it's gone their way, then we can, of course, start commenting and making, say we agree or we don't agree or whatever we're doing. But we can't get in the middle of these processes. Okay? So I'm going to give anyone a chance that wants to either agree or disagree with that. That's fine. We can do that. But Mr. Rogers?
Thank you, Chair. Just on a point of clarity, surely if you're under probation and there's misconduct or poor performance or whatever, that probation can be terminated. Why would it be going to a disciplinary matter?
Well, I think it's when they told me of this, I exactly asked the same question. I asked the person responsible for the legal issue. But surely the main issue is the probation issue. But clearly what it is you may find that when it goes through the probation, they do an inquiry about the probation. I mean, you can't just say, well, I'm sacking you. You'll have to give the person a chance to answer whatever accusations is against him. So once you go through that process, maybe someone says, but look, this is a personal thing. This is not the fact that the person is incompetent to do the job or so. And then, of course, if there are disciplinary problems, you would then want to make sure that you can still go through with the disciplinary process. So it's a bit of it's a funny situation. But as I said, I actually thought the DG get appointed permanently. I didn't realize that they get appointed on probation. I wasn't aware of it. So when they told me probation, then I realized why they're doing the two processes. Because they can't preempt the outcome of the probation issue. So if there are disciplinary issues, you need to, of course, prepare for those as well in the same time. So I think that was the answer I got from the person that's involved with the legal... Sorry, I can't remember your surname.
Mr. Singh,
thank you. So those are those issues around the details.
Okay.
All right, other issues? Well,
Chair, thanks. I'm not going to respond to that last question, so that I don't in any way compromise the processes that have been followed.
Well, that's exactly the problem. Once you start coming into the committee and the processes, and people compromise themselves and say, but you said that in the committee, then all of us can be called as witnesses to say, but you said this in the committee, all of us are then going to give evidence to say, yes, he did say this, you know, and that's the problem with them, trying to interfere in processes.
Thanks, Chair. I'm going to respond to the questions that I'm able to deal with adequately, and then just hand over to my colleagues. Just first of all, the question from Dr. Fong in terms of Amajuba. You'll find the Amajuba issue disclosed in our annual financial annual report, which has been tabled in Parliament on page 223. It's a loan that was made available of 21 million, or that sits in the books of 21,772,000 for the purchase of the Ngangane Regional Water Scheme. And that was purchased by the municipality that was responsible for that area at the time, and with the amalgamation of the municipalities, there's now questions around whether that loan is actually the responsibility of the current municipality. But Chair, we can give you a half page or rather one page, just giving you a high level indication of what the nature of the dispute between the departments.
No, don't do that, because what I'm trying to do is get AG to write this off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's stupid to try and spend so much time in 1994. Before 1994, how do you solve this?
But Chair, if you look at the annual financial statements, you will see that there's, in terms of fairly old loans that are still reflected in our financial statements, it's in total 91.669 million. And some of those loans are, 500,000. In fact, one of them is only 1,000 rand. But they still get reflected there because they haven't been liquidated, is that right now? Maybe what's, haven't been recovered. Sorry, I'm using words. So yes, that's all. We need to find a different way of clearing that 91 million out of the financial statements. The other issue, Honourable Wenger, which raised around MWIC and the capacity constraints, I take note of the comments, and that's issues which you will deal with going forward. I also note the comments on the issue of losses and the fact that you think the methodology might be, that methodology might be a problem. Wolfgang can speak a little more around it, because that particular report that's been published
was a research exercise which was undertaken by the Water Research Commission, and one can go into the methodology around it to see whether it was or wasn't correct, but they had to make certain assumptions, and you're quite correct that free basic water might be referred to as non-revenue water, and then it gets covered or recorded in the other water losses. But Compart would be better able to respond to that. Honourable Ferguson, around those old debts, I've already, in my response to Honourable Dr. Kwan, I've covered that already. Honourable Skosana's comments around the conditional grants, we'll cover those issues in the Monday workshop if you want, but the point is very well made that we need to deal with these things sensitively, because those conditional grants, particularly the ones that the department managers, are very much, have a rural bias, and it's communities who battle with very low levels of service in any event. Directed issue to DDG regions around capacity. I'll ask Sandeka just to respond to what she's doing in terms of creating capacity for those directors in the regions to be able to manage the processes properly. So before we deal with the finance issues, if I could ask Elkhart to deal with the non-revenue water or unaccountable water, and then Sandeka to talk on the capacity, and then Tabi Singh to deal with all of the number issues which Honourable Huang raised.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for that question. As the DDS, acting DDS said, I think the members should take note of this report. It says the state of non-revenue water in South Africa was recently released. And this study is the most comprehensive and detailed study of its type to date. It expands on the knowledge acquired previously. And it was done in a combined effort between our department, our regional offices, and Water Research Commission. And data were gathered from 132 possible 137 municipalities, but covers 75% of the third water supply. But a number of the municipalities doesn't even know what are their laws. I think that's the one concern. Wenger is also right that often they confuse between what we say the policy should be free, basic water. There should be a volume say this is free, whether it's 6 or 9 or 12, but it should be a defined volume. And often it's just free water, like unlimited. I think that's a problem. What's interesting from this report, I'm reading from the summary, is that the current level of non-revenue water for the country as a whole is 36.8%. And what's encouraging, this figure is similar to the estimated world average of 36.8%. That is a high side when compared to the relative
36.8% of water used is non-revenue.
Yeah,
non-revenue.
The non-revenue means it's not built or it's either a big physical loss or
it's different. It's a big percentage.
But interesting, what they say is it's compared to developed countries, it's high. But when compared to other developing countries, it's quite good. So we are there sitting in the middle. I would recommend that the committee gets a copy of this report. It's an excellent report. It's really the best study done to take on this topic.
Please, Senator. Then Ms. Mabata.
Thank you, Chair. Two questions that I think I need to address. The one was indirectly asked by Dr. Wang as to why towards the end of the financial year we're experiencing a peak in terms of expenditure. And I would like to say the combination of factors, the most important one being a lack of poor planning in the department. We put mechanisms in place to make sure that we plan in good time. For instance, the CFO insists on us submitting a demand plan even before the end of the financial year that will give an indication of what kind of services need to be procured, etc., so that at the start of the financial year we don't deal with procurement at that time. The other one is the project cycle itself in some cases, where the first phase would be planning and you get into construction towards the end of the financial year. The other one, again, that Honourable Member, you asked specifically is about the invoices. How come we struggle to get invoices? It's a reality that is yet difficult to understand, even with our implementing agents, like your water board. In some cases, you do struggle to get invoices. But it's also a reflection of our program management capacity as departments. Because if you have adequate program management capacity, you have people who are able to follow up on stuff like invoices in good time. But it's something that we're working on. So if you look at the performance of our team over the years, we are really picking up in terms of expenditure. There are improvements because we're slowly addressing the issues that are leading to under expenditure. And then the last one that talks about the need to address capacity of directors. I would like to start at the recruitment process. Currently, you know that the minister has put in the BGR that is helping us with the recruitment of all SMEs, particularly SMEs schools. We begin to pick up, from my side as regions, because I have both of SMEs, we begin to pick up this. Maybe we should be making some improvements or adjustments. If you look at the process itself, I may be involved in the shortlisting of my chief director, but I may not be involved in some cases in the actual recruitment. Okay. As the manager responsible for these posts, I know the dynamics in the region. I know the kind of person that you need for the Limpopo may not be the kind of person you need for Western Cape or for Eastern Cape because of the provincial dynamics and maybe dynamics within the team, within itself, depending on what the challenges are. So some that we are editing up that if I was in the interview, I wouldn't have appointed a director, A or C. So these are the things that we need to look at as we improve. That's the result. But now the question is, what do you do to deal with the director or the chief director that you've already appointed? It's a tough one because the environment it doesn't allow for capacity building. You don't have time to build capacity of the chief director or of the director. So if we address the first one, but of course there are programs that we have put in place that we're working with HR to build the capacity, not only of the chief director or director in my French, but holistically part of the improvement. Maybe some can talk about the assessments that have been done to assess the qualities or the attitudes of people that the SMS member that they need to have.
What is the follow-up, Mr. Skosana? Okay, I understand the response. Mine was just to get the sense on the capacity building part of it, but she done much on other issues that are too confidential administratively. But I should think that one, you must deal with it internally as administration, the apostles, the minister, check and balance the issues. But for an answer that I requested from the department, I should think for now it's just from the file, we'll deal with it as we go. Let them deal with those issues internally and see what can we do in order to correct all what is not correct or so on. Thanks.
Mr. Abbas, this one comment you made, I actually understand your comment and I sympathize with the comment, but I think we must be very careful. You say that sometimes people get appointed in a certain place which you maybe have not appointed because that person doesn't really fit in there. And I know what you're talking about. It's the dynamics. You don't necessarily appoint an Afrikaner like me deep in the rural areas of Limpopo or in Zululand who can't speak a single word of Zulu. I know you're referring to those, but I think we must also be careful of those issues. Because what we can do is we can entrench the stereotypes of apartheid if we're not careful. We're going to say, you know, we need a Tonga person in Sekukuni land or somewhere because, you know, only Tonga people live there and therefore we can get into deep, deep trouble. I know, I mean, as I say, I'm not criticizing what you're saying, but I know what you're saying, is that sometimes it can create problems, but the problem is if we generalize about it, that means in the end of the day we're going to entrench about it again. Because we're going to appoint Zulus where Zulus are, we're going to appoint Afrikaners, and you know already some people are getting up and say, hey, you know, when I go to my office, I don't need someone like me anymore, you know, I only need someone like me. You know? I mean, that's now typical, you know. I mean, I want to go there and I want to see someone that looks like me, and you know? I don't want to go there and see someone that looks like Errol, you know. I mean, really, you know. But I think we should be careful with those. We should be sensitive about it, but we also should be careful that we don't pander to those sensitive. Because I'm getting far too much now that, you know, people stop using that to say, you know, this one, you see, this one's not important. So how does he understand what we Zulus are doing here? What is this one doing here? This one's a fool. What is this fool doing here amongst us, you know? And what we're doing then is we're going back to, we're going to entrench those apartheid ways of thinking and ways of living, even now. We live in our suburbs. Basically, we, the only people we see there are the ones that look like us. So this is 20 years down our democracy. That's how deeply those issues are entrenched. And if we go to unemployment strategies and we start entrenching some of those same things, we're going to get into real trouble. We're never going to break the mold of apartheid. Okay? So be sensitive about it. But on the other hand, let's not pander to it. And let it not become a strategy for us. Be aware we're going to appoint Johnny DeLange in the middle of the KZN, and this guy's going to struggle there. But does he have some skills there that are not available there? Does he bring skills that are not available in the central KwaZulu-Natal? Because everyone there that's got a bit of learning, everyone goes to the cities. So if someone is prepared to go to the rural area, it doesn't matter whether he's pink, blue, purple, Tosa, Tonga, or Portuguese, in the end of the day, those skills are very vitally needed for that part of the department there. Then the skills have to outweigh the fact that this one may not speak Tonga or whatever. Okay, so we must be very careful with these things. In a way, you gave the answer. In any case, I can see you're careful about it, but I'm just warning. Again, we must be very careful. All right, you will still have questions around financial issues that have to be answered.
I think there's only one remaining question from Dr. Wang on the calculation of the analysis. And I must just indicate that the analysis report would not be the same as the reflection on the first part, because the first part is the one that has presented while I was here, not looking into the analysis. And I've taken note of the calculation that is supposed to be 595. And then one question was from Ms. Ferguson in terms of the payment, the challenges within the day-to-day payment. I must indicate this one, the challenges that we have is more on the big accounts that we have, especially the Pakistan. Pakistan do not bring the invoices on time to us. So the time it comes to the department reflects the service that has been rendered in more than 30 days. But in terms of being paid within the 30 days, we do pay as they come. And I must also indicate that on a weekly basis, we do get the report from the SMMC hotline, where it gives us the status on our progress in terms of payment within 30 days. I think that was all. And then in terms of the planning, I think Mr. Baza has covered the issue of the planning and the jumping. But also, as she has indicated, the issue of using the implementing agents and part of our implementing agents being the municipalities, and also the misalignment between our financial years, this is also taking part to the plan.
One of the members asked something which made me think. Around HR, DG, do we have... you guys employ people, WT appoints people, Commission of Research appoints, all the water boards appoint, CMA appoints, whoever else appoints. So there are people all over that are basically employees of this government sector of water. Do we have one place where we have all these staff that we can see in one place? Or do you have to go to each of these entities to go and see how much staff they have?
Chair, I'm not aware of us having a centralized database where we can have a look at all of the staff. We've got the information available by entity, but not on a centralized basis.
Shouldn't we be, if we're going to look at especially these capacity issues around these M weeks and so on, shouldn't we have an analysis like that in one place? Shouldn't you guys be working on that? So that we have a one place where we can say, we've got, this is what we've got in the department, engineers, this is what we've got. We've got five in WRC, we've got five in the water, this water board. You know, so that we can see that capacity base we have. Will you have a look at it and see what the possibilities are of creating one big HR plan so we have an idea? Because, I mean, yesterday I was surprised when you said WT has 4,500 staff. That's a hell of a lot of staff. Now, you've got a few thousand water boards have together got a few thousand. So it'll be good for us to see, as a government sector, what is the size of it and what is it that we've got in that sector. Because if I want to engage Treasury around capacity issues, then I need to be able to say to her that this is what we've got. So, okay, I'm going to say check creation of centralized HR audit and plan. Okay. Someone had a follow-up, Mr. Dr. Hua.
I think your chief was done. I think the CFO didn't answer my question completely. Number one is 599 million is correct, or the 575 is correct. This is number one. Number two, it's understanding. For your program too, it's from any report, you understand it's 340 million. It's from the interface. It's 340 million for the understanding of program, the water sector program. But you from the indicator, you, from the, your page, you analyze the water, it's understanding only for the 34 million. What is different? I want to know what is different. Then for the your delay for delivery, because from your procurement, you had the procurement for the leader database for the supplier. Then your delay for the list all the goods and services is from the, your supplier. Your database is efficient because you spend the money for the procurement for the database. I want to know what happened for this. Yeah.
In terms of under expenditure for program 2, at the time when we were doing the presentation, which was dating the 22nd, it was 34 and highlighted only the earmark funding, which was AMD and the institutional overtime. But as I've indicated with the updated report as of today, this figure has definitely has changed. But in terms of other spending on water sector, on EMF funding, it was 34,750.
But shareholder is saying, you say is that until year of the tax, it's 340 million from the auditor report. Your understanding is 340 million back for program 2. Then my question is 2013, your total budget is 454 million back. Then you are under the spending for 2011 first is 340 million. So it means you only 1 million can run in, 100 million can run in for operating program 2. This is my question. You need answer.
I think I don't get an honorable member honestly.
Can I ask, I'm going to give you a break now and then you go and sit with Dr. Huang. Let me show you in the documents and you answer it after the break, okay? So take a break, we're going to take a 5-minute break now before we do infrastructure. Go to Dr. Huang, let me just show you which video.
You
go and
do what you have to do.
Is it
now infrastructure? Okay. I think so. You can do whatever. That's fine. Okay. WT. Heta, Kaluma, Prat, speak.
I'm just going to move to the next slide. But the slide is a case that to show the basis of our response moving forward.
Which government are you working
for? The one that's not the phase one,
you haven't accepted the document. Capital. Oh, yes, capital. Yeah, I saw something called capital. Yeah, capital project is
expensive.
This one? Okay. Go for it.
Interesting out of the two B,
phase 2B is that mining houses, CFO will explain the funding, but I'll give him a chance to explain how it's going to be funded. But the recent developments around this matter is that about two-thirds of this budget of the 3.472 billion is going to be funded by mining houses. They will be funding it, we will be co-funding it between CITAS. Some money will come from the CITAS and some money will come from the mining houses. Okay, the proposal on the table, it has not been adopted. We're still reviewing it as a department, but planning for the implementation of 2B is rolling. We are planning to be able at least towards the end of this year, which is around October, November, be in a position to start with our preliminary work on this. Right now we are in design stage for 2B. We will be continuing accordingly as the CCCA work program. So we will be coming back then with a new work program for 2B that one would have worked together with the mining houses. So it's a joint project between the department and the mining houses. Then the GWAP, as I reported yesterday, the GWAP phase, which is the raising of the dam, GWAP project is two phase. It's two problems. There is the raising of the dam in them and the building of the new dam, which is the Nualusha dam. They are all in the Mpopo. We got for next financial year, we got 10 million and 17 million. We are hoping, Chair, that we should be able to spend this allocation. But as I reported yesterday, that we very much reliant on our colleagues from planning because we have not received RID from these two. And we're hoping that they will assist us to provide us with RID so that we can start hitting the ground next financial year, which is the one that we need to. Then the rehabilitation plan, we're having 228 for the next financial year. We have also requested the CFO, seeing that the demonstrated rehabilitation project I reported yesterday has not been doing well in terms of expenditure, which means we haven't really done that much in terms of reducing the impact that was highlighted in the 2006 demonstrated report. But this figure of the 2013-14, we may revise it based on recommendations that are going to come from the CFO. Raising of the medium chair, next financial year, we're planning to spend 360 million. I must indicate that the current financial year, I will indicate how much we've spent on the current financial year, which was primarily connected to this diversion of N7. Mukolo, we have Mukolo, which is a big run of the, this is a project that we're doing together with CCA. We have 100 million allocation for next financial year. Mukolo West, we also have 114 million for next financial year. Raising the Hagen near them, as I indicated, we're very much on site for this one. The tender is out, it is closed. We've done preliminary work, site establishment around this project. We've relocated the grid. We've done all the exploratory work that was needed before. So we're very much ready for the contractor that should be appointed in the next month or so. Then we also have a new distribution system. I think this care was more rehabilitating existing infrastructure. We've got system on allocation for it. And then we have an ERP system upgrade, which we've spoken at length about, which is the third upgrade. And 236 for project for NWIR, for this is our salaries and the rest of the services that are expected around the office of the DDT as well as the management of the entity. And then the financial management project support, we're looking at 185K177. Only all the budget for the financial aid is 2.2 billion. Which is money that is coming from foundation. Of course, WCE relies on two sources of funding. There is the 2.2 that we are getting as augmentation from from the pizza, he comes via the Dwa boat. But we also have another allocation, certain allocation revenue that we collect, that the CFO highlighted yesterday. A large portion of that goes to TCH for them to be able to stay with the loan, but also a certain component around 2 to 2.5 billion comes to WTE. It is used for operation and maintenance of existing infrastructure. As CFO indicated, some of that money would like to make sure that we direct it to rehabilitation and also dealing with the backlog. Sir, on the work that I have reported that we have the progress that we have made. Let me just take the copy to maybe, I'm not sure whether you want me to go to detail, but I've already explained the two pipelines. But
I think this one you have to explain again. You've got it.
Okay.
I think we've got it.
I think I'm going to allow then the CFO to take us through expanding. He wants to do it.
Basically, in summary, as we saw yesterday, what you're saying is you have three or four or five projects that are at the brink of being finalized.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have about three projects that are just beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You've got one project that's in the middle somewhere, also getting close to finish. And then there are about four projects maybe, that are in the first four phases.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Am I summarizing more or less correctly?
Yes.
Okay. So just so that members can work on those things, that is more or less the summary of where we are with our project. Okay, expenditure?
Yes, sir. As we indicated, we're projecting with the award to spend 100% of the allocation that we received beginning of the financial year. The amount of 23 million we were planning to use this as an advancement, we hope, and for the developer. I think it has not happened, but we're hoping that we will be able to commit because we are already establishing a relationship with the developer and that commitment is during the financial year. So in a nutshell, the work expenditure is up to speed. I might also indicate that we did very well at the work, looking at the fact that about 8 weeks of our time was taken by the strike, but the team managed to recover gratefully. And then on 2C, again, we're also delayed by industrial action chairperson and inclement weather, and there were also issues on access to land and the expropriation that had to take place for us to be able to lay that phase 2C pipeline. It delayed us, but we were also able to spend the whole allocation. As I indicated on the West and Zanin, this financial year again, we had an allocation, but it was also not spent because of the RID on both projects, and I'm hoping this financial year. So that money has then been reallocated to other projects. I will then show the committee how that money, saying that we don't have an RID, we then diverted those funds to other projects. The dam fake rehabilitation test, 89%, we want to spend 89% of the dam fake rehabilitation, but again, the under expenditure under dam fake rehabilitation has then been redirected to other projects so that we don't have again the capacity to absorb
additionally. You know, as a general principle,
yes.
When it comes to big projects,
yes.
And you have delays and so on,
yes.
I'm going to usually understand. But when you come to projects like dam rehabilitation, fixing up dams, maintenance, I have no patience with those issues. That's not a big project you're doing. It's a project you spend about fixing up a dam, fixing up something, you're doing something. It's not a big project where you now wait for the building. So I think you guys must sharpen up on the issues where it's like dam rehabilitation. They should never, 26 million should never be rolled over or sent somewhere else. And so all these projects where there's small things, there's maintenance being done, there's
And we have to say, yeah, I've got no patience whatsoever. Me, nothing. Luto. No.
Yeah, I think I share the same sentiment, and that is exactly what I've indicated to him. As a result, I've said even the money that has been underspent the other years, it must be brought back here, and we are putting capacity to deal with it. There is already a PMU that has been opened. In my office, the PMU that is dealing with the design. Just a team of engineers that have brought in to say, you bring the design and the same approach we are also want to follow on contractors, so that we don't go out on tender for every other project, but you pre-qualify people, so you then begin to rotate them. So the capacity is there. We want to start well in the beginning of this financial year. I also share the same sentiment, especially about them, if it hasn't been doing very well. Raymond and William Kemp, $200 million was directed to Sandra. Sandra, as I said, that the contractor is already, their tender is out, the contractor is ready, they are about to appoint the contractor. Design was completed here during the financial year. So construction is starting at the beginning of the
road. Because the damage you raised, it's going to go over the road, so they're moving the road.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
Yes, okay. Then on MSWAP, which is...
I can't listen to that right now.
And
I won't be able to get to my concession when the dam is built, the water will be so I won't be able to get to concession to the road will be underwater. So they're now building a special road for me so I can get around and go to my concession. The pump's very nice in that sense. Building a special road is for me to get to my concession.
I must also say the chair had no influence on the design. It was
the engineer's opinion. Thank God for that. Can you imagine what a mess it would be if I have to give out this?
MSWAP, we have already paid our allocation. This was co-funded between ourselves and CCTA. Some of the money came from the capital market. So, but there were delays. I think it's in the media here. That's why we had to reallocate this money. It's the issue of the Medupi strike. This MSWAP is linked to the Medupi power station. So we were somehow affected by that because when the Medupi team was down, it was sometimes decide whether it was with Dua or Eskom staff. So we were also affected to a certain extent by Medu. But our allocation on this project has been Leighton Hazel near here, we didn't do very well on Leighton Hazel near. Delays were caused primarily by the pain in design. Treasury, you remember, we initially started with a budget allocation of about an estimated budget of about 160 million. But then we were discouraged. The panel of experts on the design that I've introduced recently said that let's get the design tested by other engineers. They came back, they recommended that the design that we had opted for was not going to be sustainable. And the revised design came at about 306 million. And because of the delay in concerning the design, we couldn't move with the tender process of opening here. But we continued with the preliminary work as I indicated. All of it was completed. We are now ready to go on site. Now with 360 million budget instead of 160 that was originally then. But again, despite the fact that we have that 44% achievement, but we redirected the funds to other projects as well. Global distribution, Mubali. So here it was dealing more with rehabilitation work. We could have finished this work during the financial year, but there is a first problem here with pipes in the country. And the challenge that we had was the contract that we had, the pipe contract that we have. Since this was an existing project, and in the design of the original, the as-built design, we found it in the municipality, the question asked to use a certain diameter of the pipeline, and then it became very, very difficult because that diameter could not fit into our contract. It's a diameter that we no longer use as what happened. But what we're asking the municipality, so we had to make sure Howard Durand talked to the existing experts on the ground. So there was a delay, but those types have since managed to get the price. But I must say that the committee needs to understand there is a concern. Minister has even added, kindly look at talk to DDI, because most of the projects, I'm sure Tanika will also concur with me, we have serious problems with pipelines in the country, with the pipe material in the country. The existing two or three companies that I have, we are having, they are struggling to deal with the demand, specifically because there are also huge infrastructure projects that are taking place in Botswana. I don't understand how far Botswana is getting so far when it comes to purchasing pipelines within our country. MLO emergency work, it is indicating 9 million share. I must say that what this figure is going to change, because we're already paying pipeline, but the problem that it's not indicated here is the fact that it is being done by Redwater. So Redwater has not invoiced us, but definitely this amount is going to increase, and it's not going to be 9.3 million, and it should be covered in the next financial allocation. We're planning to spend 63% on SAP. Delay was caused by delay in the appointment of the contractor. It took more than 8 months, 9 months, just to get the company on board. They have now started, they have a very ambitious work program. I'm hoping that it's going to move the way Chair has indicated, that we need to make sure that we put them on term. I'm hoping that we can be able to convince them, but I'm confident that the capacity of the companies we appointed to deal with the upgrade. Our support, which is basically the salaries, we are projecting 100%. And then for financial management, it's 103%. In a nutshell, we are going to spend 100% of our budget. Ms. Mbaketi, they spoke about the water energy project that are appearing under a program, but the work is currently being done under NWIR. I think we are the contractor, she is the client. We then decided that I will be reporting as a contractor on this project. In any case, they were at a very advantage for me to have handed them over to her, so we decided I will just be reporting on a quarterly basis, just on the progress on this contract. The Nandoni, which is the Nandoni pipeline, that is the Nandoni water treatment work and the distribution is in the Valdezia. We are projecting, we were projecting to spend 94%, and that was due to slow spending during delays in pipe deliveries. There's the same problem that we experienced in Ubani with pipe deliveries, quality of pipe, but also again, having learned from the mistake, we were very careful in terms of workmanship, but we also put a third element where we brought in an independent contractor that was dealing more with the quality assurance, bringing in the technology that is needed, testing the pipes before we fill them, and testing them after we fill them, and also providing a telescopic view on the performance of the pipe after having laid the pipe. So it took a bit longer, but because we were more careful and very much worried about the losses that we had experienced. Then we were also in the same, not only the replacement of the RP pipe, the losses that were incurred earlier on. Again, there we are projecting to spend 100%. I must mention, Chair, that this picture may look beautiful, as I mentioned yesterday. I must say that I put a lot of energy thinking that the municipality was going to meet me so that we could be able to take the water out of our system. At this stage, the committee may still see riots in Nandoni, they may still see marches because the municipality is not ready to take over this water. All the projects, restoration projects that were supposed to have been dealt by the municipality have not started and they are not ready. That is the area that I'm now trying to put this to make sure that the minister, together with the premier of the province and other relevant ministries, are putting their heads together to make sure that eventually water from Nandoni is being distributed as before end of the financial year we are going to start next week. That, but on one side, the parts are there, first, but now we can't take them forward. The same thing with Inyara Care. We projecting 100% Inyara water treatment work. And the same thing for Susuwe. Susuwe phase one, right after phase four. Then I think I must give me a bonus as a contractor because I have really spent all the money and we should be looking at commissioning most of the project. As I step up of the internal commission because we would like the municipality to take them over, but I think we were a good contractor.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Can't even congratulate you for doing the work of another part of the park. That would be even moral. And you can't negotiate for a bonus. It's all in the same part. You can't even ask over that. Sorry. Okay, is that it? Infrastructure?
Yes, sir.
What happened to that big plan that you got drafted of all infrastructure things and so on? Are you still working on that thing? Because I mean, I haven't had that IPC thing, but I'll let you report on that next time. But I mean, you guys, remember you drafted the thing one you gave to us and you had that meeting up in Joburg and then you briefed the committee as well. Is that plan still being fine-tuned or is it thrown out the window or what is that?
Sure, not thrown out the window. It's being updated, continually updated. But what we have it, we don't have it in one single plan. It's plans by province.
The big one you had together, that's still there.
But it's, you end up with quite a messy plan when you just show the entire country, try and show the entire country with all the infrastructure on one plan, you lose a lot of the detail. So one tries to depict it at a provincial level. And that information.
I'm not too worried about it now because I want that workshop. I want us to look at these things more, where the funding coming, the infrastructure. They will have more time to unpack it when the Treasury and you guys get that workshop going. So then we want to unpack this thing. Because I think we need to go back and have and keep that big plan because that's the way it's going to help Treasury ultimately to understand and the IPCC what the work and what the infrastructure is. We don't have a big plan like that. We have to get little plans from each of the role players. It's going to be terrible. So I think we must try and keep that one, the big plan updated that you guys had previously. Very important. Okay, so that's all the input on this.
Chair, if I could just, we have another slide showing you the bars. I just want to talk to them quickly that you don't jump up while they're on there. There's some information which is provided in the pack which you can just have a look at it when you have time. And at another engagement, we can talk to them as well. We've shown you the various stages of a major infrastructure project. Yeah, just pull one of those up. So what we've done, if you have a look at that, just put the full screen. We've taken each of the projects which Zandile has referred to now, and just superimposed where we are on it. What's missing, however, on that at the moment are the time frames. It indicates where we are, but it still doesn't tell you when that commissioning
when you want to do those things.
But at least it indicates the stages that have been completed, what the target is for the APP in terms of 13-14, and we've just got to update that to make sure that we put an end date in it.
But it's much better looking at it like this than when you look at it as just a percentage of construction, when you can at least see this is all been done for each project. It looks good.
But it's incomplete, for which I apologize for, but I thought I'd just thread in just to start.
Just one thing. When you say 1 to 2%, 3 to 5, what is that? Is it off the whole project? So that will take 2%.
That's normally value.
The budget. So the top figure there you see is that will take 1 to 2% of the budget. That will take 3 to 5. And so you get down that construction is a big part. Okay. It's worthwhile looking at a project to see how much it costs throughout the...
Chair, just bear in mind that it's the gaps that you add. It's not 1 to 2% and then 3 to 5%. So the first one takes either 1% or 2%. The next one is also 1%, or could up to 3%. You follow me? It's a cumulative, those figures. As you go up,
so the 3 to 5 add in the 1 to 2.
That's correct.
Okay. You're adding it on, so it's actually not as big as it looks like, but it's smaller.
So once you get to the point where you go going into design, you would have committed yourself to about 10% in terms of the totality. And by the time she starts on site, the construction, 20% would have gone into all of the aspects of design and regulatory aspects and all of that. And then at the end, 5% of the project cost goes into your commissioning and the final close out on the project.
Now, it's useful. So you guys have finished this now for each of the projects, so one can look at a nice picture of it.
And then what you have underlying that is a very detailed project plan on an activity basis. So you can actually see, and I've got one here I can show you during the break, which takes you right down to the 95 or 100 steps that you would have in taking the project through to its conclusion, indicating the date, the timeline for each of those activities, and you can take it indicating the type of resources you need for each activity as well.
What I usually see in the committee is at least seeing the plan that you have. When I see this, I know you know what you're doing. I mean, you know, all the detail doesn't matter because I'm not going to remember that, but it's worthwhile understanding that this is how far you've gone. You know, and that's good. Okay. Any questions? As I said, we're going to unpack this more at the workshop, and this gives you an idea of where the projects are. 4 or 5 of them we're going to get invited to the opening soon, and then the rest are going to wait for a long time before there are any projects done again, because they either in design or they've been designed. After that, the 3 or 4 that are going to be finished soon, except for the work with somewhere in the middle. Okay, Mr. Rogers, Mr. Dr. Kwan.
Thanks, Chief. Regarding the pipes, the quality of pipes and unavailability of pipes, obviously it's going to affect this department. Do you have a short-term and a medium-term, long-term plan? How are we going to address this problem? Because if it's left with no solution, it's going to create problems. Thanks, Jim.
Especially when Botswana and other countries are now starting to develop, and now all the pipes are going there, you may have to engage trade and industry to see whether you put in special, for our development to be held back because of other things. It's a serious problem. So that's a good point that we made. Let's see what are your plans and ideas to deal with, okay? Dr. Huang?
Thank you, Chief. Regarding for your financial breakdown for the Limpopo, this one is for 87 million rand for the suspended account. I want to know what happened for this suspended account. And your invoice expense is nothing. So what means for the invoice expense? It didn't indicate it because they only for 73% for the expense for the budget. So I'd like to know why you said for the subsidy account of 87 million big amount. Thank you.
Any other question? Okay.
Zandi is looking for those numbers which Dr. Huang has raised. We might have to get Dr. Huang as a consultant in the department to check some of our numbers as well. I'm just joking. Chair, the point that Honourable Rogers raises, important one, you'll find that on some of our contracts we are using a pipe that has been imported, through procurement, very open and transparent procurement processes, but I'm in the process of engaging with trade and industry to see what we can do in terms of our long-term build program. As you can recall, I think we did it to this committee. Did we do a presentation on the infrastructure investment plan, 10-year investment plan? Yes, I think we did.
That's a big plan.
Big plan, the 670 billion over 10 years. In terms of that plan, we've actually got to have a resourcing plan that goes with it. So we'll be engaging to a great extent with trade and industry to have a look, see what are those components will be localized and what cannot be localized. And they'll have to see how they deal with parts supplies, which is one of our critical issues. So it is on the table. Zondile will answer that question.
What is this that's lying here?
Sure, that's a document that supports when we come back to the next time when you talk on the hotspots. Well, that's the regional bulk project, but it's together with the flat plan that we'll talk to when we deal with hotspots as well.
Okay. So I hope you all remember, keep this with your hotspot file, okay? Document. Okay. I just saw infrastructure here, and I was wondering whether it's part of the
Chair, could I suggest that as we did with Tabi Singh on the numbers that Dr. Hong was querying, whether Zondile can just step across there and have a look at the numbers and just clear them out.
Please go there and have a look. Okay. Okay, that's all the issues. All right, now that's what we've done for today. We're going to adjourn soon. I know some people have had to leave for the planes already. I don't want anyone to miss the plane, so if you have to go, you must go. Now, look, I think that the hearings in the 2 days went quite well. I'm happy that the department has taken the previous inputs around performance indicators and you've built on that, showing how you're integrating the national plan and so on and so on. The fact that you can show that to us and that under each program that those put in there, we haven't delved down to see to what extent, but the fact that you've done it like that, I know that you're on the right track. So I'm hoping that over time that gets done properly and so on. And that will apply to a whole lot of things. Now, there are a whole lot of issues outstanding. And even if I look at the program, there are some that we haven't even got on the program. For example, CORBA and PCTA were supposed to be a day with the infrastructure. But all the infrastructure stuff I wanted to look together, so I'm not too sure why they're not, and maybe there was a misunderstanding, but infrastructure, I wanted everyone, this is what I'm trying to do with here as well now. To deal with infrastructure, don't just deal with the department and W, but also add CORBA and PCTA so that you look at all the infrastructure at once. You know what I'm trying to say? So that was the idea. So we're going to have to probably make space for them so they can just add to what is here. There is something to be added. But, you see, there's a whole lot of things that I think we need to still look at. Now, obviously, the PPR is important that we look at. The IBCC, even if it's just a preliminary input, because I've been engaging with the minister to see if they can come give us an input. I did it wrong all the time. PICC. Okay. Then, of course, the ones that we didn't do, hotspots, PAIA, and PAJA, their implementation. You know, I got a bad input from DIA. What I'm trying to look at is to what extent this department is actually dealing with PAIA. How many you're getting on every, how long does it get to take out, and where are our difficulties, our challenges, and with PAJA as well. So that input, I want to see to what extent we've implemented that legislation and how effectively it's working. I hope you've got that input. And in the Water Tribunal as well, we still need to look at. Then, of course, the AG report on consultants, we haven't looked at, and the AG further report on the main account, which they haven't finished today, still needs to be taken into consideration. And then, of course, there's the CMA, the Water Board, the IEDM, TCDA, COBRA, and Water Research Commission. All those we need to try and fit in and so on as well. Now, there are areas in the Green Rock, of course. Now, there are some areas that have not been on the program, which I think it's worth us looking at. Water allocation. You know, how far are we there? How far are we with the licensing? How far are we with the backlog? All that stuff. I think we should get a report on that. And then Ms. Basa's regional things. We've looked now at the bigger things, and we've looked at the work that that May has done on her behalf as a contractor. But we haven't looked at all the bulk things that are existing, how she's performing, how she's not, what are the problems, what are the challenges. They are big and stuff. So I think we must all come and get that regional input. I mean, the biggest part of the budget, so we need to give her a chance to do that. So those are the kind of things. So what you can maybe do, Mr. Balder, go and just list them for me, maybe in order that you think we should do them. Of course, there will be NWRS as well. Maybe the order is to start on the 16th, see how far we get, and then we may have to allocate another day or two just to finish off the
Let's try and do them in some kind of sequence and let me have them and we'll engage and I'll tell you, okay, let's do them in that order. That'll help you also plan. Because we'll do on the 16th, we'll, and on the 78th, we'll still do water balls. So the next time will have to be some other time after that, okay? And once you've given me that list, I'll, then there's a whole lot of things you have to do. Please write them up. I'm also going to type them on my computer. Here they are, 2 pages of stuff. So I'm going to also type them up. But the one I want to mention now is that meeting between Treasury, AG, and yourself. I've got on that list of things you need to discuss and sort out there is the capacity of the municipalities in our week and their plans, the mandate of CMAs to verify the efficacy of the changing of control of financial officials directly to the CFO. Remember they said, you've got a directive. We can't work out as Treasury how well you've actually implemented them. Or stop whether they are now reporting. So that issue you guys must. Then a mechanism to improve indicators for ongoing work. Treasury has pointed out that you used to finish 60 projects, you're now finishing 12 because they become bigger. And there's no indicator to measure the ongoing, so that one. They made a mechanism to be more flexible earmark funding. I'm sure CMO has jumped on that and wants to engage Treasury immediately to get more flexibility on the earmark money. That loans prior to 94, let's get a mechanism to write them off. Payments of accounts within 30 days, let's find ways. Mayor has yet explained some of the reasons. One group of people don't give us proper accounts, then they're only accounting from the day that the work was done, but they get their accounts much later. Let's sort out those problems out. That doesn't come onto the books again. The interpretation of the three quotations, I don't ever want to hear problems with that again. And then what no one responded to is we need to change our spending patterns on travel and subsistence. 200 million odd is on travel and subsistence. There wasn't a response on that, so I want you to sit down with Treasury and see where you can cut back. Okay, on travel and subsistence, because it is an easy one. All right, those are just some of them I've listed. There may be some I've missed out, but that meeting is important. And then you guys must also get that workshop, start giving me an agenda of what you want to do at the workshop and make sure we get a date and approved. And then I say I've got the pages of other tasks, which I'm not going to repeat all of that here. I'm sure you've got them written down. So that's a lot of work that's been done. But to prepare us properly for the 21st of May, we're going to now still get a set for the 16th, 17th, 18th. We're going to maybe 2 other days we'll give you to finish the kind of reports that have to be done. Okay? And then there are a lot of things that must be done, and let's not wait for them. The 2 pages we are, for example. I need those 2 pages before we get to the budget vote, because I want people to have a look at them and be able to understand when you talk about WTE, how big is that thing? How many assets has it got? How many da-da-da-da-da-da? How many loans has it got? How much money has it owned? And there, how is this revenue being collected, etc., etc., okay? So there's a lot of work to be done. And please, let's try and do that stuff before we start the new lot of hearings for the 16th, then we can fit in what we need to still sort out. But I must tell you on the whole, DG, I want you to go and really congratulate your people and tell them that there's no doubt in my mind that over the last 2 years, and particularly in the last week or 2 weeks ago when you gave us the indicators, I know it's all going to take time. But the fact that you guys have been able to visualize the kind of thing that we think we should be doing, the mere fact that you've been able to do that means that if you keep continuity amongst you lot, that all of you understanding where you should be going, then that is enough for me to have confidence at least. I now every year will check you and how far you've got. But when you show us how you're doing with those indicators, the dashboard, and once the dashboard's in place and all this work gets done and it feeds into the dashboard, then we'll see the weaknesses. Because the dashboard will show us we're not growing as much as we should here and there and the other. And we need more work here and more work there. So once we've got all those things that we've put in plan and the integration of the NPA, the national plan, the NDGs, and that's all integrated properly and we're working properly with those things, then this will start working. And then we need to really now, on the leadership issues, please, man, just urge strongly the partner to move on these things. I know you've now got to a stage where you have advertised all of them except the corporate. I'm not sure why we haven't advertised the corporate head, because the corporate head is important to be advertised so we can get on with the appointment they are. So please, let's get on with it and finish off all those big positions. And then obviously we would want you to keep us informed about processes around the DG. I have stated publicly here, and there was no disagreement from the committee, and that's what the processes are and so on, but keep us informed about it, because the problem is we're all under pressure at the moment. Everyone is trying to get us to intervene in these processes. Now, if you keep us ignorant of the processes, then we're under real difficulty, because then members are going to start acting on things where they don't have information, okay? So please keep us in the loop. Once you start with the, you've got dates and so on for the probation things to be sorted out, let us have those dates and things, so that we know. If anyone asks us, we can at least say, well, we know that the probation things are going to be dealt with on the 20th of April or something, and that the disciplinary hearings are set for the 10th of May or whatever, so that we know where we're going and that we don't have to get under the pressure that we are at the moment. Okay? Because I know what is going to happen next. All the stuff they're going to get to the newspapers, and I'm not going to say it yet, because I don't want them to turn around and say that this committee has acted on it. We know what's happening, but we are not prepared to get involved in things that have not run the course. And therefore we're not going to buckle under that kind of pressure. But you guys must keep us informed about all these leadership stuff, okay? Disciplinary stuff, Mr. Matlangu. When you're going to get them done, send those dates to us, share it. Write a letter to the DG, say, please, we now have a date for this, or we now got rid of the director of finance, so we have started the advertising. Those things, if you keep us informed of it, then there's not going to be problems when we get back here. So when we come here after a whole year, and we have to hear that, again, nothing has been finalized, so that's when the things are, I mean, we get frustrated, because the whole year we don't hear anything, assuming things are going to happen, we come here and then it's not happening. That's when the frustration starts building up, okay? So you guys must keep us informed of those things. And then we must find, with that input on Alpha, the input on the NWRA, the report back of how far you are. Some members have raised, for example, the CMA, the water board. What are the things that you are thinking of then? So at least again, I know you, when we dealt with the things, you start fleshing up some of it. But let us tease out some of those things when you give that report, okay? That will be early in May. As I say, I'm not going to summarize everything, but DG, I want you to please go and convey to the department that if we keep going in this direction, obviously we'll still be critical of something, but I think we're on the right track, okay? Thanks a lot. Anyone in the committee want to add anything before we... anyone? You all happy? Okay, members, so I may call you during the recess for something, but at this stage, if you don't hear from me, feel free to stay away and not be in contact with me until the 16th of April. This is a question of I'll call you, don't call me. 16th of April at 9 o'clock. We'll continue. That's a committee week. The week after is a plenary and committee. And the third week after is also a committee week, so it's just committee. So we'll have some time to do a lot of committee work in that time. Then remember the committee week with... there's another committee week with, what's the public holiday, the 27th? Freedom Day. It's on the Tuesday or the Wednesday. Now, even that is a committee week, but Kelly and I have agreed that we're not going to sit in that week, so that people can have their week free, okay? So just have a look at the program at that and make sure that you've got it there. And the program for the first 3 weeks will probably be the same as it is, more or less the same as it is now, but I will correct it, adding the things that I get from Mr. Carlson the next day or two, to shift the things around so that we get all the dates in, and then the program will change to that extent. But other than that, I'll see you. Do we know, you don't know yet where we're meeting? Okay, 16th at well, let's make it, we're going to do the bill first. Eh? Remember the bill first, we're just going to look at the technical stuff, and we're going to send it back to caucuses, okay? On the 16th, and then we'll start with whatever we've got. Okay.
I shouldn't speak after you have, but just first of all to thank you and the members for listening us up and for the question that they raised that helps us to take our issues forward as well.
And if I could just from the department side, just an appeal in terms of the way we schedule starting times, and I raise it in relation to you say, talking about subsistence and travel. If we're able on the day that we come in for one day or multiple day, on first day, start at 9:30, it means that we can travel in the morning and we don't have to travel the night before at accommodation costs. So if we could just bear that in mind when we one's able to get the 9:30 meeting.
Well, let's say for the 16th, you can definitely assume that you're going to start at about 10 to 10:30, because we're first going to deal with Bill. So the 16th, you definitely can come later and start. Okay. But DG, look, I don't do all the admin stuff. I do it through Chileka, and obviously Chileka does what I ask her to do. And so if we don't think of something like the travel, I mean, you guys must phone in the meeting. Phone Chileka or something and say, but have you considered that if we come half an hour later and so on? Sometimes I try and start at 9:30 because it's also for the buses and stuff to get members here. But sometimes, like when we shorten the meetings, like we've done in the last 2 days, we just have to start at the beginning. But that is not your problems, they're my problems. But please, let's to save money. Please, if we haven't thought of something, just let Chileka or let me know directly, okay? The only other thing I wanted is Mr. Rogers. Have you got Mr. Rogers' details? His phone and things, so if I need it, okay, we've got that. And your birthday, I'd like to know when your birthday is. So we like to send you flowers. Give us flowers. Now, I think Chileka is a bit shy, and she knows that Treasury is listening, so she doesn't always give flowers. But just a happy birthday from us would be good enough. So. Okay. Thank you very much, and to the members. I know it's been difficult to come back this week because Parliament's not sitting, so I appreciate everyone has come. I think the work's been good. And so let's try and finalize it so we're ready for our debates on the 21st and 28th of May. Okay. Thank you. Adjourn, travel carefully.
You drive fast. You take things a lot.